Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, Haverim, shalom, Erev Tov, yes, I, good evening right here. Also, you know, for ones and ones, you know, respectively, you know, season's greetings, just a general season's greeting. But to the fam, this is after Hanukkah, Maccabee, lights, the fighting holidays, resisting, we're still resisting that assimilation to world flesh, satanic seclorum. But, you know, for others, you know, being gracious. Holiday, you know, greetings, season's greetings, just in general. Yes, I, but still in the Maccabee vibes right here, resisting that simulation, not living, seeking not to live in the image of the beast as we look to the east. Yes.
I'm going to testify. Psalm 82.
Mizmor pevet, mizmor le'asavor.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el.
He judgeth among the gods. The God.
Bekerev Elohim
Yishkot. Elohim.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
Yes, the evening psalm, Psalm 82, the evening psalm, here for the third day of the Shavuot, third day of the week. I'd like to share this as a little rhema right now, tune from Sister Sojourner. Understand this psalm, even though she did that for Psalm 37 on the rhythm, Psalm 37 version. It makes a lot of sense right here. Hopefully you can receive the sense right here. Sister Sojourner, understand this psalm, even the evening psalm right here, Psalm 82. Rise up the chant.
A long time you try to understand why we people in the condition of poverty and slavery, based on jacked up mentality. Blind eyes can't see, no, blind eyes don't see. We find it in a Genesis, make me try back and try to understand it. A man named Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, him did have 12 sons with enough children, 70 souls was all of them. Gone down in Egypt, they multiply. Word of the Most High, food that never lie. After much time, remember them. Moses done this, so he deliver them. There was only one problem, the only one problem. Israel of them idolatry, them captivity, them poverty and idolatry. Why do the people perish? Do you understand it? The family if I ask the Most High, cause we really want to understand why. Why do the people perish? Do you understand it? Go up on your knees and ask the Most High if you really want to understand why. When them walk out, them was ungrateful. When them walk out, them was unfaithful. Made a covenant, them never really keep it. Said the words, but them never really mean it. Mount Sinai was not a secret. 10 words, glory, we did see it. What's wrong with Israel? What's wrong with Israel? Why do the people perish? Do you understand it? The family needs to ask the Most High, cause we really want to understand why. Time to turn around.
rebel and a hater. Them coulda never touch the anointed. Them coulda never touch the one who the Most High appointed. How we fall from grace, we told you this. No attempt to turn back and win the race.
Why do the people perish? Do you understand it? They come in here to ask the Most High, cause we really want to understand why.
Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Our report, 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 our report. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The Lord revealed. The report, the report, the report, the report. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The Lord revealed. The Lord revealed. The Lord revealed. The Lord revealed.
And our report, 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 and our
Yes. So here. So it was holiday seasons with Maccabee fighting holidays, getting that light, downloading that light, relighting the light, relivicating the temple, you know, keeping the Isla Ira, the Holy Spirit, you know, in I and I temple. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple. So in applying the principles of the Maccabee fighting holidays, hopefully we're resisting, you know, even though we're in the world, not being of the world, you know, the assimilation with the world flesh, satanic seclorum, especially in seasons like these. You know, they say at this time of the year, there's something known as SAD, you know, seasonal affective disorder, but also with all of the spiritual propaganda that's going all around. It's really hard to resist, you know, but resistance, you know, is not futile. Just to point that out, don't get caught up in the Caesar Borgias, the hive, you know, mentality of the world flesh and satanic seclorum. Right here, I'd like to share a little tune right here from Maccabee. We had Christmas canceled. We had Rasta Soldier for the Maccabee fighting holidays. And here, Jesus Christ was black. Fact. Maccabee, come with that. Yes, sir. Maccabee, right here.
When I said Jesus Christ was black, some people seem shocked. Then said Maccabee, oh, you could say that. Well, listen to the fact. What? Somebody tell me why they have to tell with lie. But the man they crucify, hi. Jesus never had blue eye, boy. Somebody tell me why they have to tell with lie. But the man they crucify, hi. Jesus never had blue. Boy, some would have said that me wrong, because in the time Jesus stepped on the land, nobody never said no photograph of the man. So oh, we are gonna know the man's description. Make we look in at the Bible for the information. Well, even in a bit them King James version, the color of the man it is still mentioned. The description of the man is in a revelation, seen in a vision by the man called John. Well, listen to me, oh my, me say listen to me, man. Oh, was Jesus described by the man called John? I be here like wool, hear me no man. Who have the woolly hair? A wee black man. If you want more evidence, listen to this. Another thing about Jesus that John noticed, him have feet like brass burning a furnace. Sure, a black man did some. Jesus was black. Them not like that. They question, them run from that. Then we tell you say it don't really matter. Then we even tell you say it never have no color. Them must think say Rasta no have intellect, cause I've never seen a man without no color yet. Me not upset that, I mean not take back no chat. And in idea you know say Jesus black. No blue eye Jesus couldn't defend me wall. I emperor Selassie I instant tall. Fire for the Vatican and Pope Paul. Babylon must fall. Me say why them have to tell we lie. But the man them crucify, hi. Jesus never had blue eye, boy. How when me say it not nice, Michelangelo what you did wasn't right. The Jesus where you paint look like he just had a fright. You take the black Jesus and you painted him white.
light. You paint a picture of yourself instead of a picture of Christ. What is hidden in the darkness revealing the light? I and I overstanding with a different height. A long time the Roman them a give we a fight. And I know right, don't make them fool ya. Just a same coming at the line of Judah. Same line as the last eye from Ethiopia. Look the seven seal and return to conquer. That's a me black messiah. Me say why them a fi tell we lie. But the man in crucify high. Jesus never had blue eye. Why? Somebody tell me why them a fi tell we lie. But the man in crucify high. Jesus never had blue eye. Why? Jesus Christ was black. Maccabee not take back no charge. Rastafari.
Maccabee, hammer them. Why they tell us lies? Because they're liars. So what we do during the Maccabee fighting holidays, Hanukkah, well, we spin them, dub Y, spin them.
Keep the fire burning, boy, yo, we lay in true light, see me
So here, 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 during these winter moons right here, 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 according to the Ethiopic Book of Jubilees, Metafik Kufale, we learned that during these winter moons became a time for the Hebrews of study. You know, here we're out of season. When we say out of season, the first season is from the April-May time, the Nisan, a.k.a. Abib time, the springtime, where we have the 7 months, the 7 moons, and in those 7 months, 7 moons, we have the Mo'adei Yahweh, the Mo'adim. The Mo'adim are the appointed times, the appointed times, the Mo'ed, Mo'ed, like appointment, appointed place, space, you know, an appointment. Even the Ohel Mo'ed, which is often called the tent of meeting, translated as the tent of meeting, Ohel, tent, Moed, Moed. Moed is an appointment, right? What's interesting is that we had Psalm 74 in that verse where it talk about they have burned up the synagogues, right, of Eloheinu in the land. It uses the word Moed, Moed, as in Mo'edim, the appointment. So we have an appointment right here, here, here. We're in the 11th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong right here, known as Vayigash, Wayigash, Wayigash. Now, there's a few highlights, updates we'd like to share right here to catch up with this Torah reading and feeding. But first, for continuity purposes, we have some studies, you know, some basic discussion, reasoning points from the previous sabbatical studies here in the season, as well as some Q&As, you know, and also the Meek 8. Now, the Meek 8, which is the previous 10th, it corresponded right at the time of the Maccabee fighting holidays known as Hanukkah. Now, we went into the Hebrew etymology of Hanukkah, linked it to Hanok, Hanok, a.k.a. Hanok, Hanok, or Enoch. Has a twofold basic meaning application, the Hebrew, the two truths, the Hebrew two truths, and one aspect of, quote, dedication or like initiation, or some might say inauguration, initiation, as we have in Numbers chapter 7 with the 12 princes of the 12 tribes of Israel bringing forth their gifts and their offerings for the initiation of the public altar, known as the Mizbeach in the tabernacle. So that's the first Hanukkah or the Hanukkah of the altar. Also in the Psalms, we have the dedication of the house of David, right? The Hanukkah, the Habayit, you know, of the house of David, the livication. The secondary meaning of Hanukkah, right, or the Hanak root is to educate, education, as the teaching of the King Messiah, the King of Kings upon the throne of great King David, the King of Israel, the King of Kings of Ethiopia. You know, education is the key. So here, 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 let's pick up. So we have the Vayishlach, Vayishlach, which was the ninth, right? Vayishlach, right, was the ninth, let's see, ninth, tenth, right, Vayishev, or actually the eighth, we had the discussion topics from the eighth. So we're going to cover the eighth, ninth, tenth, hopefully some tonight right here on the podcast, and also maybe on the Wednesday service. Ja Will and I live on a Wednesday service, so we can catch up right here in our studies, especially seeing that the winter moons, right, were the times of study. Also, during that time, Abraham, you got to be instructed by the Malak Panayo, according to the Angel of the Presence, according to the Ethiopic Book of Jubilees, right? And we find also the heavenly, studying the heavens. So the study of the Hebrew language, the studies, right, as well as the astral theology. And it's interesting because within the narrative HaTorah, especially with Yosef and his dreams and his vision, right, it points to the as above, so below. So here, 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 picking up the eighth right here, here, here. Let's just check the numbering. We have Vayishlach, and he sent. Vayishev, Vayishev, and he settled, or and he dwelt. We have the Meek eight at the end, and we have Vayigash, Vayigash, and he drew near. Right, so we have three previous portions of three previous to catch up on. So here for the Vayishlach, Vayishlach, or Vayishlach, Wa and Yishlach, and he sent. Come, 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 make a reason. So here connected with Vayishlach, Vayishlach. The 8th, 9th, 9th, 10th, and here we're at the 11th. So we have just a discussion, the reasoning topics. Topic 1 from Vayishlach, Vayishlach. Yaakov, Jacob. Jacob prepared and he sent. And he sent. Wa and Yishlach. And he sent. So Yaakov, in the eighth sabbatical study, Shabbat Strong here in the season, he prepared, and Vayishlach, Vayishlach, modern Hebrew, Vayishlach, Vayishlach, and he sent gifts to Esau, to Esau, in the hope and expectation that this might, quote, appease his anger. Note that the word appease, it comes from the verb in Hebrew, the kafar. Kafar. Now, it's an interesting kafar, and also in the English is the kafir boy with some racist overtones on the continent called Africa. But we have the Hebrew verb kafar, kafar. From that, the Hebrew word comes the English translation of atonement. Atonement is derived. So we have the sense of a kafar, kafar, and we have the kippur, the kippur, the kippur, sense of atonement, or in the Hebrew, the sense of covering, right? The direct sense in the Hebrew of covering. We also have the connection with that black tar, the black, right? That black tar, that pitch, right? The kofar, kofar. Also the sense of atonement. So there's a link with atonement and the black. It's almost like in business, they say, well, you're in the red, but you got to get back into the black, right? So the kafar, my kippur, the koper, kofer. Now, does this imply, topic of reasoning from the eighth sabbatical study for Vayishlach, does this imply, right, that Yaakov, that Jacob needed to atone, or he thought he needed to kafar, he needed to kippur, he needed to atone for his sins, for his lack, for his missing the mark, his ukri against his brother? Genesis, Bereishit, Genesis chapter 32, verses 13 to 20. First item right here, discussion topic from the previous sabbatical study, Vayishlach. Second item, what are we to make of the idea that Yaakov, that Jacob, wrestled with, as translators translate, the angel of the Lord, with the Malaak Yahweh, with the angel of Jehovah, the messenger of Jehovah? How can I make sense? Higioni, right? Make sense. Targo Mestet, to give a interpretation. How can we make sense of this theophany? Theophany, theophany, Theo, Theo, God in the Koine Greek, phani, right, to say phanos, like appearance, this God appearance, this like close encounter, right here of Yaakov in the eighth sabbatical study in Vayishlach. Topic of discussion, reasonment here, number 3 from the previous sabbatical study. Before the wrestling match, this wrestling match ended, Jacob refused. He refused to let the Malach Yahweh, the messenger of he who be who he be called in the translations, the angel of the Lord, to go until he received Berkato, until he received his Baraka, Berkato. Now, do I and I think that this is somehow connected with Baraka, the blessing that he, quote, stole, end quote, from his father? Ha Malaak, the angel, in the translation, in the Western Gentile Christianity, they say angel, but more correctly, the messenger, right? Ha Malaak, the messenger, renamed Yaakov, which can be brought out in the English as a grappler, heel holder, right? As Yisrael, one who sarita, one who contends with El, with the Almighty, with Hayel, one who contends with the Almighty Power. How might the name Yisrael, Israel, imply that we sometimes need to contend? Does this name Yisrael mean, Chaberim, that we I and I might sometimes need to sarar, to contend with Hailehim, the Almighty Power. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 32, focus verses here, verses 27 to 28. Fourth item of discussion from RSS number 8, Vayishlach. After Jacob met Esau, and the two were apparently, it seems so, right? Apparently reconciled. Why did Jacob tell his brother? Why did he tell his brother that he would later join him in Seir, right? Seir is interesting too because it can mean both hairy Seir and it can mean also goat, you know, in Mount Seir, in the hairy mountain or the goat mountain, right? Why did he tell his brother? Because first he was supposed to try. It seemed like he was trying, and he said, hold up for a moment. You know, I'll catch up with you, right? When Jacob actually, he went and settled near Shechem in Genesis Bereshit, Genesis chapter 33, verses 1 to 17. Was Jacob being dishonest? If so, were the brothers truly and duly, were they truly reconciled? Topic of discussion right here, number 5 from Shabbat, Vayishlach. Jacob's daughter, Dina was raped by one named Hamor in the Hebrew, Hamor. Now, Hamor in the Hebrew, did you know, it means donkey, Hamor, right? Dina, almost like vindicated, like judged, vindicated, or like avenged. You can't even have the sense of that, the name. So from to judge, Dan, but it more has a sense like Yadon, to contend on another level, but it also has a sense of to carry out the execution of the shofet, right, of the judge, right, of the mishpat, to carry out the judgment. But Dina was raped by Hamor, by donkey. Dina was raped by the donkey. Hamor means donkey in Hebrew. The prince of the city of Shechem. Now Shechem, right? Shechem, the father, interesting in the Hebrew, Shechem can mean like the neck or like the shoulder, but the implication even in the royal Amharic is burden. Doesn't a donkey carry a burden? But in this case here, in the narrative here, it's like the burden is carrying the donkey because the father Shechem, he was going to, you know, try to reason with the patriarch Jacob, you know, for his son to marry the Hebrew daughter that he had raped. But when Jacob learned of all of this, why did he remain silent? Dumma. He remained silent according to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 34, verse 5. And was the extreme, some might say, what you think, Chaberim, was the extreme retaliation against the entire city of Shechem by Shimon and Levi, by Simeon and Levi justified? Why, one may ask, Lama, why should an entire community be faulted or defaulted for the sins, the ukeries of one or a few of its members? Now, what's interesting about the whole Dina connection, we didn't get into it in full detail on any of the podcasts, but go look up, if you will, brothers and sisters, a Wikipedia page on Dina. Look up Dina Wikipedia. Put that in your search. There's a page that will come up. On that page, just read through it. It's interesting because the black American woman, right? The black woman in America in particular is noted and is recorded in the record, right? During the times of the plantation and slavery times of the Beta Israel was referred to, especially during the Civil War, leading up to the Civil War time, as Dinah. You know, it was some of the ones will say, we're coming to rescue you, Dina. Right. So the black woman in white supremacist so-called slavery, right, was viewed as being a Dina. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting that on the record, if we look around from east to west, north to south, in this present so-called reality, who was any woman referred to as Dina? The black woman, especially in Americas, right? And also that connects to the Caribbean, right? In this captivity, it was referred to as a Dina, as a Dinah. That page there, the Wikipedia page, go get a read of that, you know? And it points to all the evidence where clearly the black woman, right, the Beta Israel woman, our own Israelite woman, mothers, daughters, and wives over this past 400 years was birthed at the Dina. It's quite correct. Same thing that Hamor did to Dina, did the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Hamor do to our woman. The problem is, where was Shimeon and Levi? Where is Simeon and Levi? Among I and I. Next topic of discussion. Sixth topic of discussion from RSS number 8, Vayishlah. On his deathbed, Jacob expressed horror. Now, this is many years later, but he must have still thought about it, all things being what they were. This definitely was still very much on Jacob's mind on his deathbed. He expressed horror. Hara'a, right, over the violence of Shimon and Levi regarding the killing of the inhabitants of that town called Shechem. And he prophesied that they, speaking of Shimon and Levi, would be, quote, scattered throughout Yisrael, scattered throughout Yasharal, according to Genesis Bereshit chapter 49, verses 5 to 7. However, on the other hand, Moses and Aaron, right, later they would come from Levi, Levi, and Ha-Lewim and the Levites became the honored Torah teachers of Yisrael. So, question, what happened to Yaakov's prophecy, Jacob's prophecy? Remember his prophecy? Or the deathbed prophecy, let not my soul, nafshi, don't let her, my soul, come into their assembly, into the assembly of the brothers, Shimon and Levi. Next item of discussion right here. Seventh, after the ordeal of the abduction of Dina, or some would say Dinah, Hailahim, the almighty power commanded Jacob. Jacob had to be commanded to leave Shechem and to return to Beit El, to the house of El, to the house of God, the house of the Almighty Power. To do what? To fulfill the vow he had made earlier. Before leaving, however, Jacob commanded the members of his clan, of his family, to bury all their idols or their foreign gods, to bury all their idols / foreign gods. Now, why? Lama, right? Why? For what, so to say, right? Lama, for what? Or why would Jacob's camp include the presence of these household gods, foreign gods, or idols? Moreover, why didn't he destroy these idols, these foreign gods, but instead only bury them under a tree? You think this is what they'd be finding sometime when they'd be saying, oh, the Israelites were Canaanites. Is this the reason why? Think about it for a moment. They'd be finding all this archaeology and they'd be saying, oh, the Israelites were really Canaanites and they were worshiping the Canaanite God, and they try to like flip the script. All right. Genesis Bereshit, Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 to 5. Eighth item discussion for the eighth sabbatical study, Vayishlah, at Bethel. At the Beit, the house of El, the almighty Hayil power, Hailahim extended the oath, that oath of Abraham to Yaakov a second time, and renamed him even again at Bethel, right? Named him again Yisrael in Bereshit, Genesis 35, verses 9 to 15. Now, what connection is there between this event at Bethel and the Malach, Yahuwah, the angel, the messenger of Jehovah, renaming Yaakov, found earlier in Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 32, verses 27 to 28. We can also even reason and infer, say, well, what's up, Jacob? You know, Abraham was named Abraham. He went forward as, hey, I'm Abraham, right? Sarai was named, right? Sarah, she went on as Sarah. You know, we have other examples of renaming, but it just seems, it seems as though Jacob had to be reminded again at Bethel, right, where Hilahim extended the oath, right, of Abraham, right, to Jacob a second time and again renamed him. Or is this a part of the Hebrew Trinity right here, right, where the Son, the Word, right, the messenger gave the message, and then we have the Father has to reaffirm that surely this is extended to you, right, and you are to be called Yisrael. So what's the connection right there, there, there? Ninth question here for Vayishlach, Vayishlach. Well, not questions so much. There are questions here, but these are topics of discussion, possible topics of discussion that ones and ones may reason on for themselves, or we the twos and threes, you know, as we reason, right? Remember reason, fourth book of Maccabees, the logic, the reason. People say that, well, man is created in the image after likeness, and they only are seeing one third of the reality. Man is a trinity, spirit, soul, and body, right? So we look at it from the body and say, leg, leg, head supreme, right? You know? But what about on the psycho-spiritual level? Well, that image and that likeness, right, of Hilahim, of the almighty power, is logic. It's logic, the ability to reason, right, and to articulate word sound. This also is the psycho-spiritual aspect of the image. So yes, man, and we say man, generically male and female, he created them in the image and as the likeness on the physical, the five cycle level. But on the psycho-spiritual level, that image is that faculty, right, of reasoning, that faculty of logic, that ability, right, to articulate word sound. Note that man can imitate the sound of every animal, but that every animal can imitate the sound of man. I mean, even the parrot comes close, but, you know, no spliff, no cigar, no chalice. Question number nine, the portion ends, right, the eighth sabbatical study, Vayishlach. It ends with the genealogy of Esau, otherwise known as Edom, whose descendants became an ongoing, going on and on and on, an enemy of Jah people in Genesis chapter 36. Now, in certain Judaic traditions, right, from even the apocryphal time of the scripts, right, the apocryphal time, the missing portion, Judaic tradition sometimes links Edom links Edom, Red Edom, with Red Rome, with the Roman Empire. In other words, it's already an ancient tradition, and you can trace it to the approximate period of the intertestamental times, the apocryphal books leading into what's referred to as the New Testament scripture. We, according to Judaic, and we're speaking about even we, the Black Jews, tradition, sometimes have linked Edom, right, with Red Rome, right, or the Roman Empire. Yeah, the Romans like the red a lot too, right? And therefore, some would regard Hitler, right, or Hisler, right, as a child of Rome, for example. Indeed, some post-Holocaust theology has been often, you know, expressed as a theology of protest. Right, so there's a whole different kind of Judaic theology that has come in post-Holocaust because of those, you say, European Jews, right, and their articulation of I narrative. Now, why was Hitler given the power to murder, they would ask, so many of, you know, the Jewish people, right? Well, we ask the same thing. Why was the Anglo-Americans also given the power to do so, including the lives of over They say 1 million, right, Jewish children. Now, how many, right, of Jah people, the Beta Israel in the Americas and the Caribbean? Now, why does Hailahim? People would ask. They ask that concerning their story, and we ask that, right, or may ask that concerning these elements of the scriptural biblical prophecy. Why does Jah? Why does Yahweh, Eloheinu HaKadosh, Baruch HaShem, allow the wicked, the ratchet, to have power in this world? This is a question many ask. Many of the atheists probably also ask that same question. Maybe that drove one to so-called atheism. Why would a good God allow the wicked to have power in this world? You know, it says in Isaiah, Yeshaya, that he create evil, our power. And then it says in the Psalm that evil shall slay the wicked. But you would ask, why does he allow the wicked to have power in this world, especially when we are taught to pray, thy will be done on earth as in heaven? A topic of discussion, reasonment. Come, make we reason. You see, unlike some of the latter-day so-called Christians, right, that have remixed a Judaic revelation right there, you know, anyway, we'll pick up on that one right there. You know, that's a topic of discussion for reasoning. Not saying there's a right necessarily or wrong answer, you know, to it, but it allows us, you know, to look at the scriptures, you know, in a new and a living, you know, way, right? And to not like the Christians where you can't ask some questions in church. You could ask questions in school, right? They say, make sure you put up your hand to answer the question, to ask questions, but you know, we are taught to do so, you know what I mean? To do so, to become firm in the word, the living word. Topic of discussion number 10 right here for Shabbat, Vayishlach, for continuity right here purposes. In this Torah portion, right, Jacob finally arrives home to see his father. But HaTorah, the Torah, is silent about their reunion. All right. Shortly afterward, Yitzhak died. So the question here for the reasoning is, why do you think might have been said between the two mandem, between the father and son? Well, the Metafe Kufale, Little Genesis, the Ethiopic book of, you know, of the divisions, Kufale, the portions, Parshiot, like the four portions in right season and times, it brings that out. It brings out a little additional Hebraic Judaic insight into what father and son, you know, Jacob, Yaakov, and his father Yitzhak, what they said, what they reasoned upon. Compare with Genesis chapter 35, verses 27 to 29. 11th and final question right here, topic of discussion, reasonment. Various scriptures, right, in the Hebrew Bible especially, seem to suggest that Rachel, that Rachel, is a symbolic mother of Jah people, of the Israelite people. Right. Apart from the story of her death during the birth of Benjamin, however, there is no event mentioned in HaTorah that refers to her, quote, weeping for her children, end quote. There's not one event. And therefore, it may be supposed that Jeremiah, who wished that he and his mother had perished on the day of his birth. We have Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 14 to 15. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 14 to 15. He invokes Ermias, the prophet Jeremiah, invokes Rachel, Rachel's memory, as the consummate mother of Yisrael, the consummate mother of Israel, who would share in the sorrow and the suffering of her descendants. That Rachel, that Rachel, is a symbol of the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, is further supported in Amos. Amos chapter 5, verse 15. Amos chapter 5, verse 15. When the entire nation of Yisrael, of Israel, is called after the name of her firstborn son. And who's her firstborn son? Yosef, Yahwashah, Yosef, Ayusef, Yosef. So we have Joseph being used in the prophets, right, to refer to the 10 tribes. And also his son, Ephraim, right, used as a reference. So sometimes you read in the prophets, you might come across Joseph or even Ephraim. This is like a byword Hebraically to refer to the 10 northern tribes. You know, the 10 northern tribes of Israel. So right here, brothers and sisters, continuity right here, just to continue.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Children of Israel, saith the Lord.
So here you pick up with what, the ninth? The ninth. Now we had actually had opportunity to read the synopsis from the ninth, the Vayeshev, Vayeshev, and he settled or and he dwelt literally, and he sat, and he sat up, he seat up. Why Yeshev, as I and Rastafari would say, like seat up. So this is a sense Hebraically. You know, when reading the Hebrew, it really matches a lot of our, you know, black people's languages, patois in some ways, looking at the Hebrew, how the Hebrew comes out. Or even some Vayanai people, you know, from the South, Geechee Gullah people, you know how we, you know, they say, what they call it, Ebonics? No, it's Hebronics right here. And he settled or and he sat up. Vayeshev, Vayeshev. So we read the synopsis, but we didn't go through the Q and A's just to catch up. These will be very, very important as we're moving forward because things will come up that from a Hebrew perspective, doing due diligence makes a lot of sense because we can then, you know, connect, you know, the dots Hebraically, proverbially. Many people like to go into one verse over here and argue one verse over here and what they think it means, you know, and what they heard say, hearsay, against the next verse over there. But we're taught to do due diligence. So here, for Vayeshev, because we didn't go through that. Let's go through these questions and answers right here so we can catch up, right? Especially here during the winter moons, it's time for I and I for study, you know, time for study. Here, question one, what does, after all, longer nights, right? What does Vayeshev, the Hebrew Vayeshev, what does it mean, Havarim? Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 37, verse 1. The word Vayeshev means, and he settled, and he was seated up, he settled. From the verb Yashev, right? Yashab, from the verb Yashab, in the first sense, Yashab, to dwell, to seat up. But it can also have a sense of to be like enthroned. There's that psalm that says, you know, the shepherd of Joseph, right, that is seated, that's enthroned between the two Kirubim, between the two Kephraim. Question two, right, for RSS number 9, catch up here, continuity, Vayeshev. Why did Yaakov dwell in Hebron in Canaan? Now, earlier, we read that Jacob went to Hebron, and Esau went to the land of Seir, the Mount Seir, right, in Genesis chapter 35, verse 27. Now here, HaTorah repeats that Jacob settled in the land of Canaan where his father lived, speaking of Hebron, right, to allude to the fact that Yitzhak, Isaac protected Yaakov and his family from Esau, from Esau. Once again, have to put into the exhibits the Ethiopic Book of Jubilees, a.k.a. Little Genesis, the Metaphor, Kufale. One of the better study translations of it we have, and we also have the Ge'ez. For those, you know, adventurous Habarim that would like to compare the translator's translation, R.H. Charles, we have it available. Check out the LOJS.org bookstore right there. Also, soft copies for study is available for free. Question number three, what do the sages say about Jacob's desire to, quote, settle in the land? Well, he was doing a lot of moving. That's what we play, the Rhema tune. Lord, got to keep on moving. He had to move from, first he had to make those moves from his brother wanting to kill him. Then when he escaped after 20-something years from Laban, he was just moving. And then from the town Shechem and the Canaanites. Question three. They say that, the sages say that Jacob encountered great testing because he was willing to settle. So they reason that his great testings and the trials and tribulations is because he was willing to settle, right, in the land, right, rather than to see himself as a stranger, right, and a temporary visitor, as did Abraham and Yitzhak. Now, we can learn something about this concerning sustainable repatriation, how the Torah teaches us, gives us examples, object lessons, case studies, right? Overstanding also the psychological, spiritual, and also the physical, financial. A lot of things are covered in Torah if we would study to show ourselves approved. Question four right here. Why does HaTorah, the Torah, say in Genesis chapter 37, round about verse 2, these are the generations of Yaakov, of Jacob. But then, and then goes on to discuss Yosef. These are the generations of the patriarch Jacob, but then goes on to discuss Yosef. Well, they say this alludes to the fact that Joseph was to be regarded as the firstborn, the Bechor, right, son of Yaakov, rather than Reuben. Also, this alludes to the fact that it was Yosef, Yahasaf, who was responsible for the most important episode of Yaakov, of the patriarch Jacob's life, namely his emigration to Mitzrayim, to the Smaitawi, to the Tameri, called by the Kemetics Kemet, but, you know, you have to put it into its historical context. The older name of ancient Egypt was the Smaitawi, the union of the two lands. Thus, the Hebraic focuses on the Mitzrayi. But even in the Yosef narrative concerning the famine in the land, it brings out the word the Adama. What's the Adama? Adam came from the Adama. Who was his mama? Well, the Adama is the reddish-brown, the dark, rich, nutrient-rich soil ground that in the Kemetic sense is the Kemet. But they only started to use that roughly towards like the 20th, 19th, and 20th dynasties, right, of ancient Egypt. The older term was Smaitawi, the union of the two lands, also the Tameri. And this brings out perfectly Hebraically Mitzrayim, the two mitzvahs, upper and lower. Question number five. What was Joseph's job? What was his job in the family? What was Joseph's job in the family business, right? Joseph's job in the family. Well, he was in charge of the sons of the two concubines, Bilhah and Zilpah, namely Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Question six. Now, I know some of you are familiar with these questions, but it's good. You know, they said education is also redundancy is good because you might hear something a little different. Go check it out and learn something. Question six, how old was Joseph when he went out to check on his brothers? Scripts say that he was 17 years old. How does the Torah, question seven, how does the Torah describe Joseph's report of his brothers to his father? Well, it was a bad report. Joseph's report is called a diba ra'a, right? This has the overtones Hebraically of what we call the Lashon Hara. Lashon is tongue, ha is the definite article, ra'a is evil, hara, the evil, the tongue of evil, the evil tongue, which is brought out as defamation. Now, according to a teaching, the Midrash, Joseph told Jacob that the sons of Leah were eating unclean meat and flirting with the local, you know, Canaanite and local daughters, you know, and moreover that they were mocking the sons of the concubines, right, the other two women that became mothers of Yisrael, calling them something of the effect of sons of slaves or like secondary sons. Even though Jacob, Yaakov, had given both women the, you could say, freeness, from being the handmaids to the two sisters before it is said he married them. Question 8, why did Jacob love Joseph more than his other sons? Well, scripture says, ki ben zikunim hu, because he was the son of his old age. Ki for ben, son, zikunim, old, gray-haired, the sense, old, zikunim, elder, zikunim, right, hu. Right, he was a son of his old age, bringing it out in translation. Jacob also undoubtedly loved Yosef because he was the Bechor. He was the Bechoru. He was the firstborn son of his beloved wife, Rachel. Joseph was also said to be highly intelligent and a Torah scholar. Remember, the Torah was also revealed, right, direction instructions of Yahuwah to Abraham, who studied directly from his grandfather Yitzhak from the time he was a very young child. For this reason, Yosef is called my ben, son, zikunim, my son, right, of like the elders. Zikunim could bring out the sense of elders, right, ben zikunim, or the son of a Torah sage, even though Benjamin was the youngest. His brother Benjamin was the youngest son. See, this connects with where we are at right here, even in the Torah narrative. Question 9. What special present did Jacob, Yaakov, give Joseph and why? You should know this one. It was the Ketonet Pasim. In the Hebrew, Ketonet Pasim, or an highly ornamented tunic, right, was given to indicate his special status in the family. This long, like a shimla, a long colorful coat was made of silk and woven with beautiful patterns and figures, sacred geometric figures. Question number 10, why did the brothers hate Yosef, Yawasaf, in Genesis 37 and 4? Well, when they understood that Jacob, when they got to understand that Yaakov, their father, the patriarch, loved Joseph more than his other sons, right, the brothers became jealous and they hated him out of envy. Now, the sages also say that by describing him as a lad, he's described as a lad, like a young man, Na'ar, right? HaTorah, the Torah implies that Yosef was a bit vain about his appearance and perhaps a bit arrogant. young men, right? Young men will be young men, don't you know? Question 11. List some of the ways that Joseph resembled his father, Jacob. Yeah, we did go over these questions a little earlier, but there's more questions for continuity. Question 11. List some of the ways that Joseph resembled his father, Yaakov, his father, Jacob. Well, both of them, right, Joseph and his father, Jacob, both had a mother who was initially barren, and then the same mother had two sons, likeness. Both, right, Joseph and Yaakov, you know, were considered the firstborn of their mothers. Yaakov, Jacob, was regarded as such by Rebecca, from the very beginning. After that oracle of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, was revealed concerning, you know, the two manner of children she had in her matrix, in her womb. Now, the mothers, the matriarchs, right, of both had troubled travails, being with children, pregnancies, and childbirth. Both had brothers, right, who hated them and wanted to kill them, both of them, Joseph and Jacob, right? Both lived in exile from their homeland. Both had a special love for Rachel, right, for Rachel, Jacob's chosen bride. For these reasons, Yaakov can be brought out from the Torah narrative. For these reasons, Jacob loved and identified with his son Yosef. See, this is what you bring out when we really study it, you know, not just like random verses, but we study the context of the scripts. Question 12, what was the dream Joseph shared with his brothers and how did they react in Genesis 37, 5 to 8? Well, the brothers, one of them was the brothers' bundles of wheat, bow down, worship, prostrated to his bundle of wheat. His brothers prophetically interpreted the dream, right, the chalom, that Yosef would reign or somehow would rule over them. And they hated him even more for his dream, for chalomo, for his dream. Now, note that the Midrash, the study, right, says that Joseph interpreted the dream to mean that the time would come when the brothers would have to come to him for food. So there was two different, you know, interpretations of it. It made two different senses, right? To the brothers, like, oh, we're going to have to worship you for real now, Joe, you know? And Joseph was looking at, no, you're going to come and bow and get food from me, right? Even though they were the ones that was, you know, working, you know, that part of the business then. Now, note also that the Hebrew word hine, which means like behold, or in a Hebrew sense, like look, see, here it is. Like look, see, here it is, hine, behold. But behold, not just in the sense of physically see, but like, you know, this is it, here it is, right? Hine, right? Behold in that particular sense is mentioned three times in Genesis chapter 37, verse 7. In that one verse, Genesis chapter 37, verse 7, the Hebrew word hine, behold, is mentioned three times. What does this allude to? This alludes to the three times, HaShalosh HaKadosh, the Hebrew Trinity, three times when the brothers would later come to Mitzrayim, to the Smai Tawi, to Tamari, to Mitzrayim, to Mitzrayim, and stand before Yosef, who they didn't even know that it was Yosef. They said, Ha'ish, they called him the man, right? He is Ha'adon. He is the Adon, the Aton. He is the Aten, the Aton of the land. Question 14. Right, well, question 13, Slika. Question 13. How many dreams did Joseph share with his brothers? Genesis 37 and 8. Well, we can't really be too sure, though the text says that they hated him all the more for his dreams. So it mentions his dreams in the plural, right? This implies that before Joseph shared the dream about the sheaves, he had shared some other dreams with his brothers. Question 14. What other dream did Joseph share with his brothers, and what was the reaction of the father? According to Genesis chapter 37, verses 9 to 11, well, the son, Hashemesh, referring to Yaakov, Jacob, the son, Hashemesh, the moon, right, Hayareach, the Yareach, right, some say referring to Rachel, right, your mother, or Bilhah, right, or even Leah, who was alive in this scene right there, who raised Bilhah, who raised Joseph as her own son after the death of Rachel. So it doesn't really directly state who the mother was, but, you know, or the moon, but Jacob clearly interprets that the Hebrew astro theology of the sun and the moon in terms of the patriarch sun and the matriarch, the moon, and the 11 stars, which are now the other brothers, including Binyamin, right? They all would bow down, right? And the Hebrew sense of the word is bow down or prostrate or worship, right, to him or before him. Yaakov, Jacob, then scolded Joseph for sharing the dream, though he prophetically interpreted his son's coming rule in Mitzrayim, or some coming rule, and that coming rule that would be in Mitzrayim, in the Smai Tawi, Tameri. The brothers, on the other hand, they were made even more furious and even more and more jealous. Question number 15. Were the brothers justified in hating on Joseph? Now, this is a discussion, a reasoning question right here. All right, come make a reason. What do you think? Were the brothers justified? Come on, we can reason. Let's reason. See, it's not like in counterfeit Christianity where you can't reason. Like, well, some might say yes. Said, well, give your reason, man. It's all about the reason. Were the brothers justified in hating Joseph? Reasoning question, discussion topic. Question 16. What does it mean Habarim, that his father, quote, kept the matter in hand in Genesis 37:11. The father, his father, right, Yaakov, Jacob, kept the matter in hand. Now, when we look at the Hebrew text, right, it says, Aviva Shamar et Ha Davar, right, in the Hebrew. Abiv, or ancient pointing, Abio Shamar et Ha Davar. Now, this can mean, one, that Jacob believed that Joseph's dreams would come true, or that secondarily, Elohim, right, Elohim Ha'av, God the Father, guarded the promise, the yea and amen revealed in the dream to his son. But in the Hebrew here, it says, Abio, Abiv, Aviv, his father, right, Abio, his father, Shamar, he guarded, he protected, hedged about, et Hadabar, he guarded, protected, or kept. Some translation bring out kept, but the direct shamar sense, which often is like keep, to protect, has a sense of like hedging about, like you would hedge about a garden with thorns in a sense, or a fence. So his father, Abio, shamar et Hadabar, that he kept or guarded, he guarded the word, Hadabar, Hadavar. Question 17, why does HaTorah say that the brothers were jealous of Joseph, Genesis 37:11? Why does it say it? Well, the brothers realized that the dreams were prophetic and that divine providence, Yahweh Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, was at work. The brothers also understood that Yaakov, he believed, he amened the chalom, the dream, that Joseph would, quote, rule over his brothers. Even if there was some question as to whether Yaakov, credited that Joseph would rule over him, right? And this caused them to be even more and more jealous. Question 18, where was Shechem located? Genesis 37:12. Well, Shechem is said to be located about 35 miles north of Jerusalem. And it first appears in Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, regarding the, quote, great tree, the great tree of Moreh, right? And Abraham's altar to Yahweh, to Adonai there. Later, the sons of Jacob avenged their sister's rape by annihilating the inhabitants of this region, Shechem. And still later, Joseph was kidnapped and sold near there. Now, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 32, identifies the general area of Shechem as the resting place of Joseph after the Yetziat Mitzrayim, after the Exodus, right, from Egypt. Question 19, what were Joseph's brothers doing in Shechem? Well, it says that they went to tend their father's sheep. Now, note that the Hebrew text is somewhat unusual. It's somewhat unusual here. Here we have Vayelchu et Chav Lirot et Son. Right? Now, this is, let's say, Vayelchu, and went they going? Echayo, ancient pointing, modern Hebrew, Echav, ancient pointing, Echayo, right? His brothers, they went, Lirot, right? Not to see, but to feed, right? Etzon, to feed sheep, right? Now, the mark, the et in the Hebrew, the et, the aleph tav, is written with dots over it in the Torah scrolls to indicate a contrary. Now, the sages, they say that the brothers' primary purpose for going to Shechem was to plot on what to do with Yosef. And a reason from that, which probably is true in the pointing to those dots over the et, is that, well, why would they go all the way over there to do that? They kind of went to out of the way place, in a place that's associated with some with some really wild stuff, you know what I mean? Right there, the rape of their sister Dina, the annihilation, right, of those Shechemites there. Later, Joseph now being kidnapped at that very same spot, and the other brothers had a hand in that other violence, you know what I mean, as well. And here they did violence to their own brother. Question 20, what was unusual about Jacob's mission to send Joseph to his brothers? Well, both Joseph and his father understood the brothers hated him. Yet Joseph was willing, right, to Elohim, and Jacob was willing to send his beloved son. Joseph, quote, the scripture says, Joseph set his face like a flint, and went to seek his brothers, despite the risk. When we look at the Hebrew, he set his face like a flint, right? And he went to seek his brothers, despite the risk. Now, if Jacob had merely wanted to see how his sons were doing, Jacob could have sent any number of servants to make the inquiry. But he willingly sent his son, even his beloved son, into a place, a space of danger. Question 21, from where, that's to say, like, what maqam, what spot, what place, did Jacob send his beloved son, according to Genesis 37:14? Hebron. Since Hebron is located on the top of a mountain, right, the, quote, depth, the depth of Hebron may be translated as the depth of fellowship. So the word Hebron, and it links to what we say Chavrin. Like the Chavrin properly should be in Hebron, a place of fellowship, the comrades, you know what I mean, the associates, the fellows. So Hebron in the Hebrew means fellowship, Hebron, right? Jacob sent out his beloved son, quote, from the depth of fellowship, of their fellowship, to search for his missing sons, to search for his missing children. Question 22, who was the man, Haish, who was this certain man that found Joseph wandering in the fields in Genesis 37:15? Now, some say that this was a malak, an angel, who had disguised himself in order to help Joseph meet his destiny. Right? Others even say in the Hebrew Trinity that it was the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit guiding a man to be a messenger to direct Joseph to meet his destiny. Question 23. What did this man say to Joseph in Genesis 37:16-17? Now the man, messenger, or even angel, first asked Joseph what he sought. And Joseph realized he was seeking the love of his brothers. The man then warned him that his brothers had, quote, moved on, hinting that they were seeking to kill him. They're not in their usual spot, right? And the reference to Dothan, right, was perhaps code. He referred to the place called Dothan, right? A code that they were seeking a religious justification. See where we say Dothan, we have Da'at, like Da'ati in Hebrew, or like the more religious Yehudi or Jews, the Da'ati, Chiloni, or the secular Jews or Israelites, Da'at. So we have Dothan, right? Meaning from the Hebrew that they were seeking a religious justification for doing so. Now note that, right, the dedication of Joseph here, note his dedication, as he chose to keep looking for his brothers despite, quote, blundering about, wandering about in the fields, losing his way, right? Question 25, right? Question 24. When the brothers saw Joseph, what did they do? Genesis 37:18. They immediately, according to the text and the tenor of the Hebrew and the scriptures, they immediately conspired to kill him, right? Basically to murder him, right? To murder him, because kill is different than murder. So from the context of the text, to murder him, right? The Midrash says that the brothers first set the sheepdogs on Joseph because one who slanders another should be thrown to the dogs. You know, there's these ancient sayings, throw him to the dogs. So some say that the brothers no doubt set the sheepdogs on Joseph, but they conspired. When they first saw him, they conspired to murder him. Question 25, who is the one that said, here comes the master of dreams, and from the Hebrew sense, the master or the owner of dreams. And what was their plan for Joseph? Genesis 37, 19 to 20. Now, traditional Hebraic and Judaic reasoning says that it was Shimon, Simeon and Levi, Simeon and Levi, who said this to one another. Now, the Hebrew says one man said to the other. In other words, in the Hebrew, one man said to the other, here comes the dreamer, or in the Hebrew, here comes the Baal, the owner, the master of dreams. The brothers actually said, here comes the master Baal of dreams. Let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal, a wild animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. Well, it is said that the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, said, yes, make I and I see whose word will prove true, yours or mine. It's kind of interesting when we zoom ahead. When they came there, Joseph recognized his brothers. His brothers didn't recognize him, and they're talking about, he's talking about, like, y'all are spies, you know, and they're like, no, we are true men, right? But then their conscience would start to get them, that conscience, you know, guiltiness rested on their conscience. Question 26, right? Question 26, who saved Joseph's life by saying he be thrown into the pit alive in Genesis 37, 21 to 22? Well, it was Reuben. Reuben heard the plot to kill or murder Joseph and argued against the idea. He said, let's not strike down our soul. See, in the Hebrew, he said, let's not strike down soul, literally. But the implication is, let's not strike down our soul. Lo, nakenu. Lo nakenu, not us to hit nafesh, soul. Don't let us hit soul. Don't let us strike down our own soul. By which he meant the brothers should not harm themselves by murdering their brother. Now, they had a special plan, right, for his life. Even if, right, let's see right here. The special plan for his life. Hold on for a moment. Okay. The Midrash. The study says that Reuben, and we're going to touch on the testament of the 12 patriarchs. Note that as well. Lost books of the Bible, forgotten books of Eden. In this season, these are some good cross references. Even by reading lost books of the Bible, the testament of 12 patriarchs, you know, while not even if ones don't have a strong in the Hebrew, there's some things in the Hebrew that really start to connect. And even with some of the other scriptures that they removed out of the scriptures, right? So the Midrash says that Reuben said, if his dreams are true, Joseph should not be harmed, since Elohim obviously loves him and has a special plan for his life. But even if his dreams are untrue, he should still not be harmed because it is both impious and would devastate our father. Therefore, Reuben came up with the alternative plan of throwing him into a pit, though he intended to return later to pull him up and return Joseph to his father and to their father. All right. So that right there, question 27, when Joseph came before his brothers, what did they do? Genesis 37, verses 23 to 24. Well, you know, I don't think they even exchanged salutations. They stripped him. They stripped him of his colorful tunic, right? Ketonet pasim, and threw him into a waterless pit. Joseph was thrown naked into an empty pit. Question 28. Why does HaTorah, the Torah, say that the pit was empty? And then it emphasizes that there was no water in it in Genesis 37, verse 24. Well, there's a redundancy, a repetition here, right? This is meant to say that while there was no water in the pit, there were other things in the pit. For example, snakes, scorpions, spiders, possibly other deadly creatures. Ha'elohim, the Almighty Power, protected Joseph as he did Daniel, in the lion's den. Question 29. What did the brothers do after they threw Joseph into the pit? This is the wild part, you know. See, the Torah, the truth of the Torah, testimony. They sat down. They sat down. See, Torah deals with reality. You know, ones and ones, these things really, really do happen, right? This is what shows scripture's reality. They sat down. They sat down. I know you might not do that. I might not do that. But they sat down, right? And they broke bread together. They broke bread together, the breaking of bread, huh? Which is prophetic. This is prophetic, right? Of the bracha, of the blessing of bread that Joseph would give later. Because remember, even the scripts say that they had to go where? They had to go down into Egypt. Egypt is a depression, geographically speaking, right? They had to go down into Egypt. So they threw Joseph down into a pit, right? A pit that really had no water, because even ancient Egypt gets its water, right, from Ethiopia and the ancient African and Hebrew countries of the mountains of the moon. You know, true, true, true. Question 30 here. A couple more questions right here. Hopefully we'll pick up on Meek 8 a little later, but let's just fulfill this right here for Vayeshev. Question 30. Who came up with the idea to sell Joseph into bondage that ones refer to as slavery in Genesis chapter 37, verse 25 to 27? It was Yehuda. It was Judah. Judah, right? Some say from which comes Jews, right? But Yehuda came up with the idea to sell his brother. Once he saw the Ishmaelite caravan approaching, notice that the Ishmaelites, they were carrying, what were they carrying? They were carrying precious spices, which is a betoken, like a kind of sign that Ha'elohim's Ruach, Ha'elohim's Almighty Spirit, would accompany Yosef to Mitzrayim. So in the scripts, you know, the spices is a link with the Holy Spirit, according to the Hebrew sense of commodities. Question 31. To whom was Joseph sold, and for how much? Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. This was about, remember, it was weight. They didn't really have coins in that sense, but he had different size of, like, you know, silver, you know, blocks, you know, like different size, weights. This was about 7.5 ounces, it is said, enough to buy each of the brothers a pair of shoes. I want you to keep that in mind. They sold Joseph for 20 shekels of silver, about 7.5 ounces, right? In the time, roughly enough to buy each of the brothers a pair of kicks, a pair of shoes, or maybe those new Jordans, reach the river Jordan and you. The Ishmaelites later sold him to the Midianites, right, who in turn sold him to Potiphar, right, in Mitzrayim. This is according to Genesis chapter 37, verse 27 and verse 36. Refer to Amos chapter 2, verse 6. In Amos, the prophet Amos chapter 2, verse 6, famous Amos chapter 2, verse 6, regarding the prophetic overtones, the overtones of this act of theirs. All right. Question 32. What did Reuben do after he discovered that Joseph was no longer in the pit and that his brothers had sold him to the Ishmaelites in Genesis 37, verses 29 to 30? Reuben ripped his clothes. He rent his garments. He tore his clothes in grief. He was distraught, obviously. And he said, the lad, Enan, is not there. And where will I go? Now, note that in the Beit Midrash, in the house of study, the Hebrew Judaic house of study, the Midrash states that part of the reason that Reuben wanted to rescue Joseph was because Joseph's dreams included him as one of the 11 stars. And the loss of Joseph would then mean that the dreams would be disregarded by the family, and Reuben would lose his status, his standing as one of the brothers. Question 33, what happened to Joseph's special tunic, that special tunics, that coat of many colors, Genesis 37, verses 31 to 33? What happened? Well, the brothers, they tore the tunic in many pieces. Probably were still angry and envious and jealous and hated on him. And they pierced it with their spears and their swords. All right. What they call it, like substitutional. Right. They then dipped it into the blood of a goat. And they sent it. They didn't bring it, but they sent it to Yaakov, to Jacob, so that he would be deceived into thinking that Joseph was dead. Now, according to the Midrash study, the brothers cast lots to decide who should present the tunic to Yaakov. And it is said that the lot, right, they rolled the dice, so to speak, and that lot, it fell on Yehuda. It fell on Judah. All right. Question 34. What did Jacob infer? What did he assume from this bloody tunic, this bloody coat of many colors? Genesis 37, verses 33 to 35. Well, it's obvious that he assumed that a wild animal had killed his son. Jacob then tore, he rent his clothes. He put sackcloth on his loins, and he mourned for his son, scripts say, many days. Now, according to tradition, Jacob actually mourned, some say, for 22 years, since Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold and was 30 years old when he stood before Paro, the great house in Mitzrayi, in Genesis 41, 46. This is 13 years. Now add the 7 years of abundance in Mitzrayi. This gives 20 years. Now add the 2 years before Yaakov, Jacob, immigrated to Mitzrayi, to Egypt. Some of the sages say that these 22 years were to atone for Yaakov's neglect of his parents while he was off with Laban. Now, according to certain teachings, the phrase, thus his father wept for him, right? Thus his father wept for him in Genesis 37, 35. Some others say that this refers to Isaac, who mourned for the loss of Joseph, but who prophetically knew that he was still alive. A couple more questions right here. Still have today's daily psalm, but continuity is good. Just become familiar with this because other things come up in the later Torah portions that might not be so easy to understand because there's some things we missed in the earlier Torah. Question 35, why did Jacob, refuse to be comforted, refuse to be consoled? Well, this is also a topic of reasonment. Come, make a reason. A discussion question here. Didn't Jacob believe, amen, in the immortality, right, of the nefesh, the soul, or of the tehiyah, the resurrection, the tensai? Some have said that the lack of consolation was meant to be a sign that Joseph was in fact still alive. So some in reasoning on this say, well, that lack of him being comforted was actually a testimony that and a sign that Joseph was in fact still alive. Others might have said that Jacob must have blamed himself for the death of his son, since he sent him on a very dangerous mission in the first place. Question 36, who were Jacob's daughters in Genesis chapter 37, verse 35? All right. Now, Judaic tradition, it states that many of Jacob's sons, right, had twin sisters. Some infer that many of Jacob's sons had twin sisters, some say, who were not identified in Torah. The daughter that we know of course, is Dinah. Question 37. Who sold Joseph to Potiphar in Mitzrayim in Genesis 37:36? The Midianites. The Midianites. Joseph was apparently sold a number of times. First, he was sold to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to traders, and the traders sold him to the Midianites, who finally sold him to Potiphar in Mitzrayim. The Midrash says that Hailahim Elohim told the brothers, you sold your brother as a bondman, a bondservant, or a slave, if you please. By your loves, the times will come when your descendants will all say, we were bondmen to Paro in Mitzrayim. We were bondmen to the great house in Mitzrayim in Egypt. Question 38. How far away is Mitzrayim, Egypt, from the land of Canaan? It is said that Mitzrayim and Canaan, the distance is a 10-day journey, a 10-day journey of roughly 250 miles, 10-day journey. Why didn't Joseph attempt to send a message back home, some might ask? Caravans made this journey all the time. Joseph was very, very resourceful. Some say that Joseph heard the brothers swear, right, the quote, dread oath, not to tell Yaakov, Jacob, what happened to Joseph. And Joseph considered also himself to be bound by this oath of the brothers. Question 39, what happened to Judah? Right, to Yehuda about this time in Genesis chapter 38, verse 1. We call this Judah, right? Black American, blame it on the alcohol. Some say he became an alcoholic. Well, according to the Testament of the 12 patriarchs, you know, alcohol came into the mix. You know, maybe it's that guilty consciousness, right? Judah, basically, he moved away from his brothers in the land of Canaan. Perhaps some say because he could not stand seeing his father grieving and his brothers blaming him for the scheme to sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites. Question 40. What was the name of Judah's wife? Genesis 38 and 2. Well, we don't know, though. She was the daughter of a Canaanite named Shua. In the Testament of the 12 patriarchs, she's called, I think, Bat Shua, right? The daughter of Shua, right? She was the daughter of a Canaanite named Shua, right? According to some of the Rebbanim, the rabbis, Shua was not a Canaanite. Since the patriarchs all were opposed, it is said, to Canaanite marriages, rather the word, some say, Canaanite here should be understood to mean merchant or trader, which is another sense of the word Canaanite, you know, or merchant or trader, or even in the Rastafari sense, old pirate, yes, they rob I. Huh. Question 41, what were the Shemot, the names of Judah's three sons in Genesis 38, verses 3 to 5? We have Er. Er can mean protector, Er, the first one. We have Onan in the Hebrew means vigorous, right? Vigorous, the second son. And Shelah, petition, Shelah, a petition, or Shelah, an ask or petition. This was the third son. So the three sons, Er, Onan, Shelah, Er, protector, Onan, vigorous, Shelah, an ask, or a petition, an ask or a petition. Question 42, who was Tamar in Genesis 38 and 6? Tamar, in the Hebrew, the name Tamar, it means a palm tree. Tamar in the Hebrew means a palm tree. She was Yehuda, Judah's daughter-in-law, whom he married to his firstborn son, Er. According to some of the Rebbanim, the rabbis and scholars of Torah, Tamar was actually, some say, an Israelite, though we say this is dubious. Tamar is significant because her union with Yehuda, Judah, resulted in the birth of Perez, right? A descendant of Dawid HaMelech, of David the king, and of Yeshua Robeinu, of Yeshua HaNotri, of Jesus of Nazareth. Question 43. Why was Er put to death by Yahweh, by Jehovah, according to Genesis 38 and 7? Well, according to one rabbi, Rashi, well, he says his sin, right, his sin, speaking of error, in emitting semen in vain as a means of keeping Ishto, his wife, from getting with child or pregnant in an attempt to preserve her beauty. That's just one reasonment on it. Well, we can say his waste, right, his waste. Even though he understood, he didn't do his duty. Question 44, what is, quote, Levirate marriage, end quote? In the Hebrew, this is known as yibum, right? Or one might read it from the English as yibum, but actually vowel sounds, yibum, is Levirate marriage. Well, yibum is a type of marriage in that a woman marries one of her husband's brothers after her husband's death, if and only if there were no children, only if there were no children, namely sons, but also a daughter under circumstances can inherit and does, in order to continue the line of the dead husband. In other words, the child who would be born, right, would be named after the deceased. The term Levirate, right? It comes from the Latin word levir, which means husband's brother. The concept is drawn from HaTorah, from the Torah, namely in the Torah in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 to 6. But it was an ancient practice. You know, there's some customs and traditions, right, that are also found in the scriptures. Question 45, why was Onan put to death by Yahweh, by Jehovah, in Genesis chapter 38 and 9? Well, it is said he died for the same reason as his brother Er, that is, for emitting seed or semen in vain, though in Onan's case, his motive was perhaps worse, since he did not want to produce an ear for his deceased brother. Question 46, what is Onanism? Right? This deals with this ism right here. What is Onanism? Now, any of y'all are Catholics, Roman Catholics, this kind of crept into Christianity through Catholicism. But what is Onanism? Right? Well, Onanism is something in modern days that is, especially by the Catholic Church and other Christianity, Western Gentile churches, is the illicit or unlawful emission of semen through coitus interruptus, right? Or some say through masturbation or through nocturnal emissions and so on, right? You see, if you look at the context of the scripture, onanism would be, you know, instead of putting it in, you pull it out. Right? But then they extend this idea in Catholicism, you know, to keep people under the guilt trip and stuff like that. You know, masturbation, nocturnal emissions, oh, that's onanism, you know. According to the sages, emitting semen in vain is likened to bloodshed. It's likened to bloodshed, you know, something that my earthly father told me years ago, you know, to have mercy on his soul, rest in grace, rise in glory. But he said that, you know, your seed is your most precious blood. Something he just told I, you know, your seed. If you think about bloodshed, semen shed, right? Both of those has to do with life. So according to the ancient Hebrew and Judaic sages, emitting semen in vain is likened to bloodshed. And one who does so is subject to the karet, karet, judgment. Karet is a Hebrew word that means cut, like to be cut off, the cut off judgment, and has no portion, it is said, in the Olam Haba. Right? Now, masturbation in particular has been thought to defile the body, and the issuance is considered tuma, uncleanness. And uncleanness, Hebraically, is considered a type of like death-like substance, right? Death-like substance. So now we're not saying that these things are, if you've done that or so forth and so on necessarily, but just some of the principles and what these principles are based on, you know what I mean? And especially in the case of Onan and Ur, right? Well, Ur, first of all, Ur seems to only have wanted to have like maybe just sex for the fun of it, right? And Onan also wanted to have sex, but definitely did not want, to give seed, and therefore that sort of waste is what is meant by their deaths by Yahuwah. But to explain Onanism, that's something that really comes out of Catholicism and some other branches. The direct context is doing one's duty, right? Don't waste. Question 47. What is karet? Karet judgment. In Leviticus 20 and 21, karet is the judgment of being cut off, karet, right? That is to die a premature or unnatural death. The principle remains true that even one's semen is one's most precious blood. Question 48. Use it responsibly. Question 48. Why did Yehuda, Judah, postpone Tamar's marriage to Shelah in Genesis 38:11? Well, it is said that Judah, Yehuda, was afraid his son would die. Since she had already, according, I guess, to how one could look at it, caused the death of his two other sons. He therefore told Tamar to wait as a widow until Shelah. Remember, Shelah's name means petition. And ask a request came of age, at which time Yehuda, Judah said he would perform, right? He would perform chalitza. Question 49. What did Yehuda do after the death of Ishto, Eshato, his Osed, his wife, his woman? Well, scripture says he visited his friend Hira, who lived in Adula, right, a Canaanite royal city, to go shear sheep, right, to trim his sheep, to shear sheep in a place called Timnah, Couple more here, brothers and sisters and brothers. This had a full set going into a lot of details here from the previous, from the ninth sabbatical study. Question 50. What did Tamar do when she heard that her father-in-law went up to Timnah to shear his sheep in Genesis 38:13-14. Well, she took off her widow's clothing. She changed her clothing. She covered herself with a veil, and she sat near a place called Two Wells. The place from the Hebrew was called Two Wells, where whoever wanted to go to Timnah had to pass this way. When she realized that Shelah, petition, ask, request, had come of age, but was not given to her, right, as a husband, she decided to find another way to bear Yehuda's descendants, even through prostitution. Question 51. Why didn't Yehuda, Judah, recognize his daughter-in-law? Well, she was so modest that she kept her face veiled whenever she saw Yehuda, it is said in the past. Moreover, Judah would never, ever have expected to see his daughter-in-law there in Timnah, sitting as a Kadesha, right, sacred temple prostitute or harlot at the side of the road by the two wells. Question 52. Why did Yehuda proposition Tamar? Well, some say, right, why did she do this? According to the sages, prostitution was technically legal. Prostitution was technically legal until the Torah, right, given at Har Sinai, until the Torah given at Mount Sinai. So in the direction instruction given to Abraham, there was nothing mentioned concerning this, and therefore prostitution was technically legal until the direction instructions, the upgrade given at Har Sinai. Nonetheless, this episode, many say, is difficult. It's interesting, and it's difficult, since Tamar understood who Yehuda was and therefore willingly committed what some might say is incest with her father-in-law, since Er was technically, right, still her husband, her dead husband. Question 53, what, quote, security, end quote, or pledge did Tamar ask from Judah in exchange for payment for her, quote, services? Genesis 38, verses 17 to 19. Well, Tamar, she asked for Judah's signet ring, Yehuda's signet ring. She asked for Judah's, his wrap or his cloak, right? She asked for Judah's personal staff. His personal staff, these were very precious items to be given as security for the promise of one goat. If you think about it, these were very, these were very precious items, but they were given as a pledge or as a security in that yay, yay, amen, amen, that promise of one goat. Question 54. When Judah, Yehuda, later found out that his daughter-in-law was with child or pregnant due to what the people were saying, in his hood, immorality, what did he say should be done to her according to Genesis 38:24? Mr. Vegas, are you listening? Well, Judah, Yehuda, he wanted her to be taken out of her house and, according to the words, burnt at the stake for her immorality. Talk about a double standard. Now, apparently, Yehuda, Judah, sentenced her to death because she was bringing shame on his family name. I guess now the shoe gets put on the other foot. Question 55. What did Tamar do when they came to execute her sentence, according to Genesis 38:25. Well, she brought forth Yehuda, Judah's pledge. What was his pledge? What was the security that he put? Almost like collateral in a sense, right? His signet ring, his cloak, and his staff. And explained that by the man who owned these things, was she with child? Well, actually, children. She was pregnant. Now, of course, she was vindicated, and Yehuda had to confess that they were his things. Well, I think whoever he sent, they looked at them and saw, no doubt, his marks on them. He's like, oh, wow. All right. Now, note that Yehuda, right, Judah had deceived his father by showing him Joseph's coat dipped in the blood of a goat. And Tamar, likewise, deuces, deceive Yehuda with a goat. So who is the goat, right? Question 56. Why did Yehuda say that Tamar was more righteous than him? Genesis 38:26. I say in a divine sense, he saved face by saying that. I mean, he didn't even have to admit. Whoever looked at these items, no doubt, will saw his marks on them. But why did he say that Tamar was more righteous than him? For two reasons. One, because he did not keep his part, his word, his part of the bargain, right, regarding his son Shelah, right? And two, secondarily, because Tamar did what she did because she amened, mamened. She admitted, amen, she admitted, she credited, right? She admitted in that royal line, that lineage, and she sought to be a part of that lineage, and she became a part of that lineage. Question 57, what were the names of Tamar's twins, her twin boys, right? Genesis 38, verse 27 to 30. Well, first we have Zerah. Zerah in the Hebrew means shining, shining, zerach, the firstborn, who had his arm tied with the scarlet thread by the midwife, and peretz means bursting forth, but it can also be translated as a trance, like a breach. Something bursts forth, it creates a breach, who later became the descendant, right, that descendant, right, of King David, or antecedent of King David, right, Yeshaya and Yeshua. Tamar gave birth to twins to take the place of her two husbands, it is said, who had died. The divine economy worked out, huh? Question 58. This entire account of Yehuda, of Judah and Tamar, it interrupts the narrative of Joseph. And the chronology of events, some say, is not certain. Discuss this right here. Well, this too is a discussion question. It's likely that Judah's marriage took place, some say, long before Joseph was sold into slavery or into bondage, right? Since when the family later immigrated to Mitzrayim, Peretz, right, Judah's son from Tamar, already had two sons of his own when we look at Genesis chapter 46 and 12. Now, others claim that Torah here is in a chronological order. Yehuda, Judah married after Joseph was sold. And people often had children at an extremely young age in biblical times. At any rate, the Torah, it interrupts the story of Yosef here because it is said that Elohim always brings the remedy before the plague. This is a wisdom principle that Hailahim, the almighty power, the true good, the true God, always brings the remedy before the plague. And the descendants of Peretz, right, who the descendant of the Peretz, right, is HaMoshiach, was the ultimate liberator, right, of bondage, even in the spiritual, iritical Mitzrayim, Egypt. Now, with that little interrupt in the narrative right there, we're going to take a pause right here for the cause, brothers and sisters, at this point of the podcast, as we have at least another hour right here. We have this Torah reading and feeding, want to catch up with it, but due to the holidays, the Hanukkah, the season, the Maccabee fighting holidays, you know, we had to, you know, light up, and, you know, download the resistance to assimilation, you know, especially here for these seasons at this time of the year. So right here, brothers and sisters and brothers, let's share a little dub tune right here before we ride up with today's daily psalm. All right. Yes, I, Rastafari. A little dub tune right here. No, let's do this right here. Let's go right into today's daily psalm right here. Give a first ear, a first hearing right here. But dub-wise, we're going to follow up on this right here. Let's bring forward the Amharic, right? I'm going to write up the Amharic of today's daily psalm. All right, Psalm 103, right here. Yes, sir.
مزمور مكهولا بتنف متصوص يا داويت مزمور نفسي هوي اغزابيرن بارك اطنتوچيم هولو يتقدس اسمو نفسي هوي اغزابيرن بارك مسغاراونم هولو اترش حطياتشن هولو يقر يمي دويشنم هولو يمي فوز هيوتشن كطفات يمي ادنا በምህረቱና በቸርነቱ የሚቀልልሽ ምኞትሽን ከበረከቱ የሚያጠግባት ጎልማሳነትሽን እንደ ንስር ያድሳል። እግዚአብሔር ይቅርታ አድራጊ ነው፣ ለተበደሉ ሁሉ ይፈርዳል። ለሙሴ መንገዱን አስታወቀ፣ ለእስራኤል ልጆችም አደራረጉ። እግዚአብሔር ማህሪና ይቀርባይ ነው ከቁጣ የራቀ ምህረቱም የበዛ ሁሉ ጊዜም አይቀስፍም ለዘላለምም አይቆጣም እንደ ኃጢአታችን አላደረገብን እንደ በደላችንም አልከፈለን ሰማይ ከምድር ከፍ እንደሚል እንዲሁ እግዚአብሔር ምህረቱን በሚፈሩት ላይ አጠነከረ ምስራቅ ከምዕራብ እንደሚርቅ እንዲሁ ኃጢአታችንን ከእኛ አራቀ አባት ለልጆቹ እንደሚራራ እንዲሁ እግዚአብሔር ለሚፈሩት ይራራል ፍጥረታችንን እርሱ ያውቃልና አቤቱ እኛ አፈር እንደሆንን አስብ ሰውስ ዘመኑ እንደ ሳር ነው እንደ ዱር አበባ እንዲሁ ያብባል ነፋስ በነፈሰበት ጊዜ ያልፋልና ስፍራውንም ደግሞ አያውቀውምና የእግዚአብሔር ምህረት ግን ከዘላለም እስከ ዘላለም በሚፈሩት ላይ ጽድቁም በልጅ ልጆች ላይ ነው ቃል ኪዳኑን በሚጠብቁ ትእዛዙንም ያደርጓት ዘንድ በሚያስቡ ላይ ነው እግዚአብሔር ዙፋኑን በሰማይ አዘጋጀ መንግስቱም ሁሉን ትገዛለች ቃሉን የምትፈጽሙ ብርቶችና ኃያላን የቃሉንም ድምጽ የምትሰሙ መላእክቱ ሁሉ እግዚአብሔርን ባርኩ ሠራዊቱ ሁሉ ፈቃዱን የምታደርጉ አገልጋዮቹ እግዚአብሔርን ባርኩ ፍጥረቶቹ ሁሉ በግዛቱ ስፍራ ሁሉ እግዚአብሔርን ባርኩ ነፍሴ ሆይ እግዚአብሔርን ባርኪ
Almighty God.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Ever faithful, ever sure. Jah Rastafari, with no apology. And this is the Rastaman vibration.
Rasta is something from your heart. From your heart.
Some people still searching for this truth here, with this reggae music, you know.
Legashun, Agarashun, Memelech, Memelegashun, Zengashwe, Ethiopia Menosh.
Some people still searching for this truth here, which this reggae music, you know, bring Christ to them, and the only purpose it serves is to tell the people about Rastafari.
Legashun, Agarashun, Memelech, Memelegashun, Zengashwe, Ethiopia Menosh. You know? But we want the next verse with Amarek.
Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible. Bring forth the Bible.
Shalom tuk enayis eling. Greetings. Greetings. Shalom tuk enayis eling. Greetings. May John give you health on I and I behalf. Shalom tuk enayis eling. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews and after the order of Melchizedek. Shalom tuk enayis eling. Greetings. May John give you health on I and I behalf. Shalom tuk enayis eling. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews and after the order of Melchizedek, righteous king, even the king of kings. Weep not, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So here we are in the book, in the Metzach Kedis, the book of the seven seals, of Garmawi, Kanamawi, Haida Selassie, Negus Neges, Ze Ethiopia, Moa Anbesa, Ze Em Negeda Yehuda. Yes, I, king of kings of Ethiopia, conquering the line of the tribe of Judah, we're at Mezmor Metosos, Psalm 103. And here is themed, Exiavier Fikarno, 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 Fikar love. Exiavier, the sustainer of the good, the generous Ab is love. We have this also as a hymn of praise in the Sefer Tehillim, Hebraically speaking, but here from low degrees to the higher degree here in the HSV of His Majesty. We're going to compare and contrast side by side with the KJV. So let's write up. Besim Ab, or Weled, Womenfes, Kedu, Sahadu, Amlak. Yes, I, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One source. In Jemralen, we begin. Mezmor Dawit Meto Source. Psalm of David, 103. Ye Dawit Mezmor. Psalm of David. Kuter An. Verse 1. Nesehoi. Exiavi Harin Barki. Atin Tochem Hulu Yetekadeses Moon. Bless Exiavi Har, the sustainer of the good, the generous Av. Nesehoi. Oh, my soul, my suke, my psyche. Nesehoi. Exiavi Harin Barki. Atin Tochem Hulu Yetekadeses Moon. And all that is within me, within I, bless. Praise, bless His holy, His Isla, His set apart name. Nesehoi, Egziavi Harin Barki, Miskanawinim Hulu Atirshi, 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 Atirshi. Bless Egziavi, the sustainer of the good, the generous Ab, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Nesehoi, Egziavi Harin Barki, Miskanawinim Hulu Atirshi. Who forgiveth, He who be, who be His divine majesty, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Kuter Arat, verse 4. He went to Shinaka Tefata Yamiya Dinat, Bemehiratu Nabachernetu Yamiya Kalalish. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? He went to Shinaka Tefata Yamiya Dinat. Who crowneth thee, I, with loving kindness and tender mercies? Bemehiratu Nabachernetu Yamiya Kalalish. Minyo tishina kabareketu yemiyat egvat. Gula masina tishina inda nisira yadisal. Who satisfiest thy mouth with good things? Minyo tishina kabareketu yemiyat egvat. Who satisfies thy desire? Minyo tishina kabareketu from His blessedness yemiyat egavat. Gul masin etishin in the nisira yadzar. So that thy youth, gul masin etishin, thy youth is renewed like the eagles in the nisira yadzar. Egziari hara yikirtad ragino. And let beddelu hulu yifardal. Exiavi here, the sustainer of the good, generous Ab, Father, executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Rephrase, for all that are downpressed. Exiavi here, yikrta dragino, lete bedbelu hulu yifardal. Le Musa men gedun astawek, le Israel le jochem adraragun. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. Lemusea men gedun astawak, les rayel lejochema deraragun, ekziav heram harina ykrbaino, kalkuta yarak emiratuma yebeza. Exiavier has sustained the good genus of Father is merciful and gracious. Exiavier meharina yikerbaino, slow to anger, kokutaya rake, and plenteous in mercy. Mehiretum yebeza, hulgizem ayak esifim. He will not always try, neither will he keep his anger forever, for I have a hulgizem ayak esifim. Lezalalemim ayak watam. In the hati atachin ala darrega bin minda bedalachinim ala kafalin. He hath not dealt with us, with I and I, after our sins, after our ukaris. In the hati atachin ala darrega bin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In the bedalachinim ala kafalin. Samai kamidrkaf in the meal and dihu exiavi hermihiratuna benifaruta laya at nekre. For as the heaven is high above the earth, Samai kamidrkaf in the meal, so great is his mercy toward them that fear, that reverence, that respect him. And dihu exiavi hermihiratuna benifaruta laya at nekre. Misraka kamiraba and mirik. Indeed, who hat yatachnin kanya rake. As far as the east is from the west, misraka kamiraba and mirik. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us, from I and I. Indeed, who hat yatachnin kanya rake. Abata lelijochu and mirara. Indeed, who exiavi her le mia faruti raral. Like as a father pitieth his children, abata le lejochu and the mia rara, so like this exiavi has sustained the good, the generous of father pitieth, has compassion upon them that reverence, that respect him. Indeed, who exiavi her le mia faruti raral. Fitratachnina in ersu yaukalina. Fitratachnin ersu yaukalina vetu inya ferindahonin asip. For he knoweth, remember, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Fitratachnin ersu yaukalina vetu inya ferindahonin asip. So is Zemenu in the Sarno, in the Dura Beba, in Dihua Yababal. As for man, his days are as grass. So is Zemenu in the Sarno, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. In the Dura Beba, in Dihua Yababal. Nefasa benefesabet gizeya yalfalina. Sifrauinil, Degmo, Yauka Yawakawumna. For the wind passeth over it, Nefas Benefes Sevetegize, and it is gone, Yalfalina. And the place Sifrauinim thereof shall know it no more. Degmoa Ayaukawumna. Egziavi herme heret gina kazalalem is kazalem, bemia frutla, sidkuma be lija lijoch laino. But the mercy of Egziavi her, the sustainer of the good, the generous Ab Father, is from everlasting to everlasting. Egziavi herme heret gin, kazalalem is kazalalem, bemia frutla lie upon them that respect, that reverence him, and his righteousness to children's children. Sidkuma be lija lijoch laino. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, Mengistum hulun te gezalech. Xavier, the sustainer, the good, the generous, our Father, hath prepared his throne in the heavens. Xavier Zufanun Besamaya Zagaja. And his kingdom, his government ruleth over all, and his kingdom overruleth all, ruleth over all. Men gestum huluna tigezalech. Kaluna yemita yemita fetsmu. Alun yemita fetsmu. Bertuochna hayalan. Yek alunema dinsa yemita semua mela ektu o hulu. Egeziavirin barko. Bless Egeziavir, the stained, the good, the generous Av. Ye his angels, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Alun yemita fetsnu bertuochna hayalan yek alune madimta yemita samu mela ektu hulu egziarin barku sarawitu hulu fekaduna yemita dergua galgayochu egziarin barku. Bless ye egziarin, sustain the good, the generous our Father. All ye your his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Sarawi tu hulu fekaduna yemita dorgu agelgayochu egziavirin barku fitareto chuhulu begzatu sifra hulu egziavirin barku nefsehoi egziavirin barki. Bless egziavir, sustain the good, generous art Father. All his works in all places of his dominion. Fit retochu hulu, begzatu sefra hulu, egziavirin parko, nesehoi, egziavirin parki. Bless he who be, who he be, the divine majesty, the sustainer, the good, the generous, of, oh my soul, oh my psyche,
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 oh my psyche.
مزمور متهولت بكنف متصوص يداويت مزمور نفسي هوي اكزيابهر نبارك عطنتو تشيم هلو يتقدس اسمو نفسي هوي اكزيابهر نبارك مسقاراون هلو عطرش حدعتشن هلو يكر يميل دويشن هلو يمي فوز هيوتشن كتفاك يمي عدنا بمهرتنا بچرنتو يمي كللش منيوتشن كبركتو يمي عطقبات قول ما سانتشن اندن سري عدسا اكزيابيري كرساد راقينو لسبدلو هلو يفردان لموسي منقدو ناساوك لسرائيل لجوتشم عدرارقون اكزيابيري مهاري ناي كروينو كاكوت طايراك مهرتم يبزا ሁልጊዜም አይቀስፍም ለዘላለምም አይቆጣም እንደ ኃጢአታችን አላደረገብንም እንደ በደላችንም አልከፈለንም ሰማይ ከምድር ከፍ እንደሚል እንዲሁ እግዚአብሔር ምሕረቱን በሚፈሩት ላይ አጠነከረ ምስራቅ ከምዕራብ እንደሚርቅ እንዲሁ ኃጢአታችንን ከእኛ አራቀ አባት ለልጆቹ እንደሚራራ እንዲሁ እግዚአብሔር ለሚፈሩት ይራራል ፍጥረታችንን እርሱ ያውቃልና አቤቱ እኛ አፈር እንደሆንን አስብ ሰውስ ዘመኑ እንደ ሳር ነው እንደ ዱር አበባ እንዲሁ ያብባል ነፋስ በነፈሰበት ጊዜ ያልፋልና ስፍራውንም ደግሞ አያውቀውምና የእግዚአብሔር ምሕረት ግን ከዘላለም እስከ ዘላለም በሚፈሩት ላይ ጽድቁም በልጅ ልጆች ላይ ነው قال كيدانون بميطبقو تعزازونم يادرغوات زند بمياسبو لاي نو اغزيابهر زوفانون بسماي ازغاج منغستوم هولون تگزالچ قالون يمتفصمو برتوچنا حيالات يقالونم دمص يمتسمو ملائكتو هولو اغزيابهرن باركو سراويتو هولو فقادون يمتادرغو اغلغايوچو እግዚአብሔርን ባርኩ ፍጥረቶቹ ሁሉ በግዛቱ ስፍራ ሁሉ እግዚአብሔርን ባርኩ
ነፍሴ ሆይ እግዚአብሔርን ባርኪ
Shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon
ברכי נפשי את אדוני וכל קרבי את שם קודשו. ברכי נפשי את אדוני ואל תשכחי כל במולב. הסולח לכל עוונכי, הרופא לכל תחלואיכי, הגואל משחת חייכי, המעטרכי חסד ורחמים, המשביע בטוב עדייך, תתחדש כנשר נעורייך. עושה צדקות אדוני ומשפטים לכל עשוקים, יודיע דרכיו למשה, לבני ישראל עלילותיו. רחום וחנון אדוני, ערך אפיים ורב חסד, לא לנצח יריב ולא לעולם יתור. לא חטאינו עשה לנו ולא חעוונותינו גמל עלינו. כי כי גבוה שמיים על הארץ גבר חסדו על יראיו. תרחוק מזרח ממערב, הרחיק ממנו את פשענו. תרחם אב על בנים, ריחם אדוני על יראיו. כי הוא ידע יצרנו, זכור כי עפר אנחנו. אנוש כחציר ימיו, כציץ השדה כן יציץ. כי רוח עברה בו ואיננו, ולא יכירנו עוד מקומו. וחסד אדוני מעולם ועד עולם על יראיו, וצדקתו לבני בנים, לשומרי בריתו ולזוכרי פיקודיו לעשותם. אדוני בשמיים הכין כספו, ומלכותו בכל משלה. ברכו אדוני מלאכיו, גיבורי כוח עושה דברו, לשמוע בכל דברו. ברכו אדוני כל צבאיו, משרתיו עושה רצונו. ברכו אדוני כל מעשיו, בכל מקומות ממשלתו. ברכי נפשי את אדוני.
for with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and another tongue, for with stammering lips and stammering lips and stammering lips and stammering lips to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme. For with stammering lips and another tongue, and another tongue to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme, to this blaspheme.
Bring forth the Bible. 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 Bring forth the Bible.
Rabbi, et shem kadisho, kadisho, kadisho. These words of David,
of David.
Bless he who be, who he be, O my soul, and all that is within me.
In
bless
me,
his
in
holy name,
in, holy name,
his holy name. Hear, 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 midrash, a midrash, a study here on today's daily psalm, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and hear, 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 after the order of Malkias Erech, Mizmor Kof Gimel, Mizmor Kof Gamel, Kof Gimel, Psalm 103. Psalm C-I-I-I, here, 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 a midrash, a study on today's psalm. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me and all that is within I. Bless his holy name. Here, 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 first verse, the Aleph verse, Le David of David. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, we call like Rabbi, et Hashem kadisho. Of David, Le David. Bless he who be, who he be, O my soul. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah. Barki, speaking to she. Barki nafshi. Bless, command to bless when speaking to she. Barki nafshi, nafshi, my soul, my psyche. Et Yahuwah, eti Yahuwah. Bless he who be, who he be, O my soul. We call Ravai. And all we call, and all Rabbi, and all that is within I, we call Rabbi. Et Hashem Kadisho. Bless his holy name, the Shem Kadisho. Le David. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, we call like Rabbi. Et Hashem Kadisho. Elsewhere, this is what Scripture says, even in Psalm 139, Hebraically, the 14th verse, Psalm 139, verse 14, that reads, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Hear, 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 the opening verse of today's psalm is Mor Kof Gimel, Kof Gamel, Le David. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, we call it Ravai, et Shem Kadisho. These words of David, bless he who be, who he be, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Elsewhere, this is what Scripture says, in Mizmor Kof Lamed Tet, Kof Lamed Tet, Psalm 139, Psalm CXXXIX, Hebraically the 14th verse, that reads, Odeka al ki noraota nifleiti niflaim ma'iseka wi nafshi yoda'atam meod. I will give thanks, Odeka, to the I, male, Odeka al upon ki for noraot nifleiti, for I am fearfully, dreadfully ki noraot nifleiti, wonderfully made. Niflai ma'iseka, wonderful. Niflaim, wonderfulnesses. Ma'iseka, the I, male work. Niflai ma'iseka, with nafshi yoda'at mod. And that, my soul, with and nafshi, and she, my psyche, my soul, with nafshi yoda'at, yoda'at, she knoweth. With nafshi yoda'at me'od, and she knoweth me'od, 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 very much, enough. She knoweth right well. Odeka al ki noraota nifleiti, niflaim ma'aseka, with nafshi yoda'at me'od. Rav abdimi bar nechunya taught, some things are bad for the liver, but good for the windpipe. Some things are bad for the windpipe, but good for the liver. There are 10 things within a man, within their mind. The windpipe for voice, the gullet for swallowing food, the liver for anger, the lung for drink, the gall for jealousy, the maw when full, for sleep, the first stomach to grind the food, the spleen for laughter, the reins for counsel, and the heart for decision. There are 10 things within a man: the windpipe for voice, the gullet for swallowing food, the liver for anger, the lung for drink. And here, Midrash, note right here on today's Psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel Kof Tamel, Psalm 103, here where it says the lung, right, the lung for drink. The Midrash note is to absorb liquids. This here was a Platonic idea, right? A Platonic idea. Here. Just a note here in explaining the 10 things within the man. Now, also here, another additional note right here is that drink. What's interesting about the word drink in archaic Ethiopic and Amharic, as well as no doubt other Afro-Shemitic languages, drink metaphorically is another way of saying to smoke. So in ancient Afro-Shemitic languages such as Amharic, the idea, like with the Hebrew, to drink, also to smoke. So instead of saying one would smoke, they would actually be drinking, and whatever is burning, that there would be smoking. So it's interesting that here, within this commentary associated with Rav Abdimi Bar Nehunya, considering there are 10 things within the man: the windpipe for voice, the gullet for swallowing food, the liver for anger, the lung for drink. Here the Midrash note says to absorb liquids, but here this reminds us of the archaic Ethiopic and Royal Amharic, the Afro-Shemitic, that to say to smoke, they would use the word to drink, so thus the connection with the lung for drink, the gall for jealousy, the maw, when full, for sleep, the first stomach, and here. Next Midrash note on Mizmor Kof Gamel, Kof Gimel, Psalm 103, the connection with the first stomach to grind food. Here, the first stomach sense. Human anatomy is discussed here. Quote, first stomach, end quote, presumably means the entrance to or the upper part of the stomach. So since human anatomy is being discussed here in the Midrash on Psalm 103, the first stomach presumably means the entrance to or the upper part of the stomach. The first stomach to grind the food, the spleen for laughter, the reins for counsel, the heart for decision. Therefore David offered praise, Isis, with the words of Psalm 139, Hebraically at the 14th verse. Here, Mizmor Kof Lamed Eight. I will praise thee, I, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul, she knoweth right well. O deka al ki noraota nifleiti, niflai ma'eseka v'nafshi yodat mod. Therefore, also, it is said, even here, in the Aleph, the opening verse of today's Psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel, Psalm 103, bless he who be who he be, O my soul, and all that is within me, all that is within I, bless his holy, his Isla name. Barki nashiyati Yahuwah, we call it Rabbi, et Shem Kadisho. In a different exposition of bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within I, bless his Isla, bless his holy name. Barki nafshiyati Yahuwah, v'kolak Rabbi, et Shem Kadisho. Rav Levi, said the name of Rav Chama, a sculptor makes a statue. The sculptor dies, but his sculpture endures. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Holy One, blessed be he, it is not so. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, made man. And man and man dies, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Holy One, the set apart one, the sanctified one, the Isla one, Baruch Hu, blessed be he, lives and endures. This neither the sculptor nor the silversmith can do. The silversmith casts an image, the silversmith dies. The casting endures. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, made man. And it is man who dies. It is HaKadosh, the Holy One, the Idol One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he who lives and endures forever and ever, for ever and ever. Another comment. A mortal king, a mortal melech, he eats, but an image of him does not eat. Not so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so the Holy One, the Sanctified, the Set Apart One, the Isla One, Baruch Hu, blessed be he. His image, man, eats, but he does not eat. As is said even in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, Thou art the Lord, even thou, the I alone, thou hast made the earth and all the things that are therein. And thou, the I, preservest them all. Ata hu Yahuwah levadeka. Ata osita et hashamayi. Shemeya hashamayi. We call us Ivaam ha'aretza. We call Asherah aleha hayamim. We call Asherah bahem. We ata mechayeya et kulama uatzeva hashamayim leka mishatachewim. Here, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, the fuller verse. Thou art he who be who he be. Thou art Yahuwah. Thou, the I, art the I be. Jehovah. Ata hu Yahuwah. Ata, the I male, speaking directly to he who be who he be. Ata hu, he, huwa, he. Ata hu Yahuwah. The I be he. He who be who he be. Ata hu Yahuwah li vadeka. Even the I alone. Thou hast made the heaven of heavens. Ata osita eta hashamayim shemei hashamayim. With all their hosts, we call tzivaam, the earth and all things that are there on. Ha'aretza, we call Asherah Aleha, the earth and all things that are there on her. Ha'aretza, we call Asherah Aleha, the seas and all that is in them. Hayamima, we call Asherah Bahem, and thou, the I, preservest them all. We ata mechaye eta kulam, and thou preservest, givest life, life giver, preservest, givest life. We ata, and the I mechaye, preservest, givest life, the life giver to them all. We ata mechaye eta kulam, and the host of the heaven worshipeth the I. Prostrates worship, bow down to the eye. U tzeva hashemayim leka mishatachwi. Hear, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Ata hu Yahuwah lebadeka. Ata asita eta hashemayim, shemei hashemayim. We call al tzevaam. Ha reta, we call asher aleha. Hayamim, we call asher bahem. We ata mechayeya et kulam, u atzeva hashemayim leka mishatachwi. And here, Midrash note here to the Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, is reference to the previous Midrash on Psalm 18, the 26th parak, the 26th section, refer to the Midrash on Psalm 18.26. Another comment, a sculptor makes a statue, but cannot make a soul or vital organs. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, made a statue, man, man, and within him made a soul and vital organs. Therefore, David offered praise. David offered Isaac, saying, blessed be he who be who he be. Bless he, O my soul, and all that is within I. Bless his holy, bless his set apart, bless his sanctified, his Ayla name. Barki nashi et Yahuwah v'kolik Rabbi et Shem Kadisho. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. O my soul, bless he who be who he be. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah. Speaking to she. Barki, bless. The command to bless. Speaking to the soul. Speaking to she. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah. Bless he who be who he be. Rav Yehoshua ben Lewi, Joshua ben Levi said, five times are the words, bless the Lord, O my soul, written here. Five times are the words, Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, written here. And five are the books of Moshe, Rabbeinu, five are the books of Moses. Bless he who be who he be, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hear, 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 Psalm 103, verse 1. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah v'kolik Rabbi et Shem Kadisho. Bless he who be who he be, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Hear, 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 today's Psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel, Kof Gamel, Psalm 103, the bait. The bait verse, the second verse. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah v'alatisha kachi kol gemulayo. Bless he who be who he be, O my soul. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, and forget not v'alatisha kachi, and forget not v'alatisha kachi kol gemulayo, and forget not call all gemulayo. Gimulav, call the Gimulav, call Gimulayo, and forget not all his benefits. Bless Jehovah, all ye, all y'all, his walks, his works. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. Hear, 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 today's Psalm, the 22nd verse. Bless Barku Yahuwah, speaking to y'all, speaking to you all. Barku Yahuwah, call ma'isayo, all ye, all y'all, his works. Call ma'isayo, call ma'isav, call ma'isayo, in all places of his dominion. Be call mi'omota mema shalto. Bless he who be who he be, O my soul. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, et Yahuwah. And in Mizmor Kof Dalet, in Psalm 104, the Aleph verse, the first verse, bless Jehovah, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, Yahuwah Elohai. Gadalta meod. Bless he who be, we be, O my soul. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, O Jehovah, he who be, we be, my Elohim, Yahuwah, Elohai, Hailiai, my power, he who be, we be, my power, Yahuwah, Elohai, Gadalta, Meod, Gadalta, thou art very great, thou, the I, has shown thyself great, has shown the I self important, Gadalta, Meod. And in Psalm 104, the 35th verse that reads, sinners, akers, shall cease out of the earth. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. Psalm Mizmor Kof Dalet, Psalm 104, verse 35, the fifth place where Barki Nafshi, bless he who be who he be, O my soul. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah. Hear, hear, hear. Verse 35. Yitamu chatayim. Yitamu chatayim. make cease, cause them to cease and desist. Yitamu chatayim, min haaretz, make akas, make sinners cease out of the earth. Yitamu chatayim, min haaretz, and make the wicked, the ratchet, be no more. U rishayim, oda einam, bless Jehovah, bless he who be, who ye be, O my soul. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah. Hallelujah. According to Rav Yohanan, David saw five worlds. He saw the world within his mother's womb, his mother's matrix, his mother's womb. And he said, according to today's daily psalm, even the Aleph, the first verse, here, bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy, his Isla, his set apart name. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, kol kravai et shem kadisho. He saw the world as he was being born. And he said, according to the next verse of today's psalm, bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits in our infancy, in I infancy. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, we'ala tisha kechi kola gemulayo. What gemulayo, gemulav, what gemula, what benefits in particular? To this, Rav Abahu answered, close to the heart, which is the seat of understanding, Ha'el, Ha'el, the power, the true good, the true God, set the breast. Here, Midrash note, set the breast, as distinct from other mammals, whose mammae are located further down on the body. So here, Rav Abahu, in answering the question of what benefits in particular, forget not all his benefits, what benefits in particular, Rav Abahu answered, close to the heart, that is the seat of understanding, Ha'el, Ha'el, Ha'elohim, the true good, the true God, set the breast. And here the Midrash note is as distinct from other mammals, whose mammae, or breasts, are located further down on the body. Lama ze, why this, why? Lama, so that the infant does not see his mother's private parts. But Rav Matena said, so that he does not take his nourishment from a place soiled with excrement or excretion. He saw the world as he went forth into the light of day and traveled here and there. And he said, even as the 22nd verse of today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel of Gamel reads, even here, Barku Yahuwah Kola Ma'isayim, Bekola Mikomota Mema Shalto, Barki Nafshi Et Yahuwah, bless, he said, in all places of his dominion, bless Jehovah, O my soul, Bekol in all Mikomot, Bekol Mikomot, in all places, Memshalto, in all places of his dominion, Bekola Mikomota Memshalto, in all places of his dominion, bless Jehovah, he who be, who ye be, O my soul, Barki Nafshi Eti Yahuwah. He saw the world as he was about to depart from the Aretz, the earth, the earthly plane, and beholding the presence, and beholding the face, and beholding the presence, he said, bless Jehovah, O my soul. Jehovah, Hailiyah Elohai, my power, my true good, my true God, thou art very great. Thou showest the I self very great. Here, Mizmor Kof Dalet, Psalm 104, the Aleph, the first verse that reads, Varki nafshi et Yahuwah, Yahuwah Elohai, Gadalta Meod. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah, Elohai, Haliyai, thou art very great. Gadalta, Me'od, thou hast shown thyself great. Thou hast bigged up the I-self. Gadalta, Me'od. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah, Yahuwah Elohai, Gadalta, Me'od. He saw the Olam Haba, the world to come. And he said, even in the 35th verse of Mizmor Kof Dalet, in the 35th verse of Psalm 104, David, in seeing the Olam Haba, the world to come, he said, sinners, ukkas, shall cease out of the earth, and make the ratchet, the wicked, be no more. Bless he who be, who he be, O my psyche, O my soul, hallelujah. Yitam uchataim, min haaretz, O rishaim, od enam, parki nafshi et Yahuwah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Another comment on Barki Nafshi Et Yahuwah. Blessed be we be, O my psyche, O my soul. Another comment on Barki Nafshi Et Yahuwah. Blessed he who be we be, O my psyche, O my soul. Another comment on Barki Nafshi Et Yahuwah. Blessed he who be we be, O my psyche, O my soul. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah. Why did David command nafsho, command his soul, command his psyche? Why did he command her? Why did he command his soul to offer praise, Isis, to HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, the set apart one, the sanctified one, the Isle One, Baruch Hu, blessed be who, blessed be he. The Rebbanim, the rabbis, the scholars of Torah, they had said that as the soul sustains the body, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, sustains His world. And as the soul is unique in the body, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Holy One, blessed be He, is unique in His world. And as the soul does not eat and does not drink, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, does not eat and does not drink. And as the soul, because she comes from above, stays pure in the body, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exalted above the world, is pure. And as HaNefesh, as the soul, the psyche, as she sees, though she is not seen, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He sees and He is not seen. Accordingly, David said, let may the soul, HaNefesh, possessed of all these attributes, come and give thanks and offer praise, Isis, to the Isle One, blessed be He, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy One, blessed be He, who possesses all these attributes. Another exposition of Barki Nafshi et Yahuwah, bless Jehovah, O my soul. The soul, HaNefesh, no man knows where her place is. No man knows where HaNefesh, no man knows where her place is. Even so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, no man knows where His place is. Not even the sacred creatures, the holy creation that carry the throne of glory, know where HaElohim's place is, or in what place HaElohim sits. Therefore, Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 12 reads, "Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place." Therefore, blessed be the glory of Jehovah from his place. Watisaeni ruacha wa eshma achraya kol ra'ash gadol baruch kavod Yahuwah mimakomo. Hear. Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 12, the fuller verse. Then the spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, the voice of a great quaking, rattling, shaking, a great vibration, bounding, uproar. I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, "Blessed be the glory of he who be who he be from his place." Wa tisaeni ruach. Then the ruach, the irit, took I up. Wa tisaeni ruach. Wa eshma. Achrai kol ra'ash gadol. Baruch kovod Yahuwah mim komo. Blessed be the glory of he who be who he be. Mi mekomo, baruka kavodi Yahuwah, mi mekomo, is as much as they can say. Therefore, baruk kavod Yahuwah, mi mekomo, blessed be the glory of he who be who he be, mi mekomo, from his place, is as much as they can say. Accordingly, David said, "Let may hanefesh, may the soul, the psyche, may she, whose place no man knows, nor knows the place, the makom, where she is set, come and offer praise, Isis, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is above his world, and whose place no man knows." It happened that a certain man asked Rabban Gamaliel, "In what place, what makom, what spot, what place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, sits?" And Rabban Gamaliel replied, I do not know. And the man said, furthermore, "Is this your prayer and your wisdom, you who pray to Ha'el, Ha'el, Ha'el Elohim, the power, the true God, every day, and yet do not know where Mekomo, his place, is?" Thereupon Rabban Gamaliel replied, "Behold, look, see, here it is. Thou, the I, ask me about something which is a 3,500 years journey away from me. Now I shall ask thee about something which sits with thee day and night. And do thou, the I, tell I where her place is." The man asked, and what is that? And Rabban Gamaliel replied, "It is the soul, ha nefesh, the psyche, the soul, who sits within thee, she who sits within the eye. Tell I, in what place she is set." And the man said, Ani lo yodea, I do not know. Rabban Gamaliel replied, "May the breath of life blow out of this man, although thou knowest not the place of something that sits within thee. Yet thou ask I about something that is 3,500 years journey away from me. The man went on to say to Rabban Gamaliel, "We do well to bow down to the work of our hands, which we can always look upon." Rabban Gamaliel answered, "You see the work of your hands, but it cannot see you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the work of his hands, but the work of his hands cannot see him. As is said even in Shemot in Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, man shall not see me, even a sacred creature shall. Man shall not see I, not even a sacred, a holy creature, a creation shall. Wayomer, Wayomer, lo tukala lerota et panai, ki lo yerani ha adam wachai. Here, the fuller verse. And he said, Wayomer, and he said, thou, the eye, canst not see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Wayomer, lo tukala lerot et panai, ki lo yerani ha adam wachai. And here, Midrash note, usually the verse that's rendered here in the Midrash note, the verse that's rendered, man shall not see me, not even a sacred creature shall. This verse is usually rendered as man shall not see me and live. Usually this is rendered as man shall not see me. Man shall not see me and live. Lo yirani, yirani, to see I, not to see I. Lo yirani ha adam. And the Adam, and Adam, and the Adam shall not see I, wa, and chai, and live, and chai. Lo yirani ha adam wa chai. But here, the commentator takes the form chai, 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 the Hebrew chai, live, chai, in the substantive sense, in the substantive sense of the word of a living creature. And living creature. So here the commentator takes the verse from Shemot Exodus, Exodus 33, verse 20, that reads, Lo yirani ha adam wachai, instead of as man, for man shall not see me and live, instead as for man, Adam, shall not see me, right, and living, and the living. Adam shall not see me, and the living shall not see me. Lo yirani ha adam wachai. So you can see for yourself that this is so. It is clearly stated by Ezekiel that when he saw the likeness of Ha'el, Ha'el, the power, Ha'el Elohim, he fainted away. Of this it is written even in Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28, where it reads, And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. And when I saw it, I fell up on my face. Ki mareya hakesheta asher yeh be'anan b'yom ha-geshem. Ken mareya ha-noga saviva huwa mareya demuta kovod yahuwa. Wa ere wa epol alpanai wa eshma'a kola midaber. Here you hear the fuller verse from Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. And the appearance of the bow. The rainbow, the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of he who be who ye be. And when I saw, I fell up on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. K'mareya hak eshet asher yihyeh b'anan b'yom hageshem. Kain mareya hanoga saviv hu mareya demuta kavod yahuwa. Wa ere wa epol alpan wa eshma kola midabir. And when I saw it, I fell up on my face. Wa ere wa epol. Alpanai, and when I saw, wa ere, and when I saw, wa epol, I fell alpanai, upon alpanai, my face. Wa ere, wa epol, alpanai. Barki nafshi eti Yahuwah, wa alatishkechi, kol gemulayo. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Barki nafshi et Yahuwah wa'ala tishkachi kol gemulayo. Here, Mizmor Kof Gimel, Kof Gamel, Psalm 103, the Beit, the second verse. Rav Abba Bar Kahana said, If a man lifts up a vessel filled with water and turns its mouth downward, he pours out what it contains. And if a man lifts up a money bag and turns its mouth downward, the money falls onto the ground. But a woman walks about with the mouth of her womb downwards. Hear, hear, hear. Midrash, midrash. No, the PE, the print edition says, with the mouth of her womb, with the mouth of her womb downwards. And yet the embryo in her womb, in her matrix, stays as secure as a man carried in a litter. Unlike an animal that walks on all fours, a woman with child, so-called pregnant woman, a woman with child, walks about upright, yet the embryo stays secure in her womb, in her matrix. Rav Shimon, Simon taught, a woman is made up of cell upon cell and coil upon coil, so that if she were delivered abruptly, she would die. However, one by one, each band is loosed, each cell is loosed, each coil is loosed. Hence, hear, 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 Barki, Nafshi, Et Yahuwah, Wa'ala Tishakachi, Kol Gemulayo. Hence, bless Jehovah, he who be, we be, O Nafshi, O my soul, my psyche, and forget not all his benefits. Barki, Nafshi, Et Yahuwah, Wa'ala Tishakachi, Kol Gemulayo. Hasoleach l'kola e'oneki, harofe l'kola tach lo'aiki, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases. Here, 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 today's psalm, Mizmor Kof Gimel, Psalm 103, here's a Gimel, the Gamel, the third verse that reads, Hasoleach, Hasoleach, the forgiver, Hasoleach, Lekola evoneki, lekola evoneki, who forgiveth, he who be, who he be, who forgiveth all thine iniquity. Ha soleach lekola evoneki, ha rofei, who healeth the healer, ha rofei, lekola tachloaiki, who healeth all, lekol, all, call, tachloaiki, all thy diseases. Here, 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 speaking to she, the nefesh, the soul. After recovery from an illness, Rav Yanai would wear his tefillin continually for 3 days. He said that tefillin require a clean body, like that of Elisha, the man who always kept his hands ritually clean. Why was Elisha called the man of wings? Why was Elisha called the man of wings? Here, 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 Midrash. The Midrash note here is that this is the literal meaning of the phrase previously rendered, quote, the man who always kept his hands ritually clean. So here, the question to the question of why was Elisha called the man of wings? This is connected with the man who always kept his hands ritually clean, the literal meaning. Apparently, the Agada, in telling and retelling the story of Elisha, who was scrupulous in his observance of the law of HaTorah, had him in course of time sprout wings, as it were, some say. But also the connection with the prayer shawl and also with the fringes. Because once when wicked Ratchet Rome, when Ratchet Rome, Rasha Rome, decreed that any man who wore tefillin would have Rosho, his head, Rasu, Rosho smashed in, Elisha continued to wear his tefillin. When a quaestor saw him, Elisha took up the tefillin in his hands and ran from him. But the quaestor, the Roman quaestor, pursued him and caught up with him and asked, "What's that in your hand?" Elisha said, "The wings of a dove." And the quaestor found that it was as Elisha said. Therefore, he was called Elisha, the man of wings. Once a man recovers from his illness, his body is clean. But after 3 days, Rav Yanai would no longer wear his tefillin continually, itinually. He said, for more than 3 days, I cannot keep myself completely clean. He said, for more than 3 days. Here, here, here. Midrash. The Midrash note right here, here, here. Dr. Saul Lieberman suggests that instead of, and here reading the Hebrew, Ein, Mem, Reish, Yod, Mem, Aleph, Reish, or Maremar, 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 said, the text can be read as Mim Nun, Kaf Dalet Wau Nun, or henceforth, rendered here in the sense of for more than 3 days, henceforth for more than 3 days. He said, I cannot keep myself completely clean. But Rav Yochanan would wear his tefillin day after day, citing the verse, even the verse here, 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 in Mizmor Kof Gamel, the Gimel, the third verse right here, here, here. He who be, who he be, Jehovah, ha soleach, lechol e'oneki, lechol e'oneki, who forgiveth all thine iniquity. Ha soleach, the forgiver, he who be, who he be, who he be, ha soleach lechol e'oneki, he be the one who forgives, the forgiver of all thine iniquity.